Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, come and tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a come and tell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just to strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, they just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Told Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a soda. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a soda. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the phone with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds that bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
We're putting
our shows together. We're polishing up our actors. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Don't you know? You're right, Black, here on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening for some Black Power Radio. I want you to buckle your seatbelts this evening for yet another episode of Black Power Radio. I'm your co-host tonight, Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar, and I just happen to be in Washington, D.C. Of course, we have our host of the evening out in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Mellow Desires out there about to press one as she usually does. And we know that we give you more, right, of what you listen to your radio for. We're right here live on Black Power Radio with some information that will definitely set the record straight tonight because we got our minds right. So that means we must got our rap tight. With our rap tight, our minds right, we are right in store for more information than you've had in the past, in the blast from the past, from all of those that thought they could do radio. We give you more than what you can get on your iPhone, your smartphone, dumb phone, Android, Paranoid, no matter what means that you have tonight, man, whatever device, whatever form of a monitor, of a laptop, desktop, whatever you can tune in with, tonight on Black Power Radio, we have definitely a show in store for you that will set the record straight. You won't have to go back and look, brother and sister. You'll be up to date when you leave the show tonight. Whatever our fraternity, the Black Power Hip Hop Fraternity with our beloved brother Ken Ivey is in the midst of this all of this. And then we have our beloved brother Imam Abdul Ali, right out in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be talking about the hip-hop fraternity. Now, is there a purpose after prison? We'll be in our 9 o'clock hour. So with that, we're just going to say Black Power. We're going to pass the baton, and as we always do, bring it right on up for you and your crew. We got Sister Janae Cook Muhammad out in Washington, D.C., and we got our beloved host right in Los Angeles, California. We're going to bring it live from Los Angeles on that west side. How are we doing on the west coast? We want to just introduce you all tonight to Dr. Mellow Desire, and you're live on Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Power to the people. Oh, this is a great year to start off. So welcome to our first episode of Power Radio. In the year 2022, what does it have to bring? What do we have to look forward to? Oh, there's plenty of us. So we have a special guest tonight, Professor Ken Ivey from the Hip Hop Fraternity, in which he will tell us exactly what we need to do as a population to really gain empowerment for the Black community. So right before then, let's give a little background. Ken Ivey was born in Chicago in 1964. And he was 16 years old when he had the life, money, women, cars, clothes, notoriety in the streets of Milwaukee and Chicago. He was awarded the coveted Match of the Year title at its annual Players Ball. So if you know anything about Pimpin' Ken and the history that he has with the HBO documentaries Pimps Up, Hoes Down, and American Pimp, this is not a gentleman to be taken lightly. He is someone that has made a 360-degree turn and really have the blueprint for our black youth. And therefore, we hopefully listened to him earlier today. And I thank you so much for joining us tonight on Black Power Radio. So let's get into our first guest, Ken Ivey, on standby.
Early, remember you gave him, unless he's at 678, flying solo in Atlanta, Georgia. I had expected him on a 404. Let's test the line and see who do we have on 678. 678, either live on Black Power Radio. 7-8. Okay. He's due to be in at 8:20, if you remember. Okay.
All right.
Let me see. 678. Who do we have at 678 at 895 on the ATL area code?
Oh, you at hello? Black Power?
Yeah, who's that? Who's that?
Oh, this is Young Shabazz.
Okay, Young Shabazz.
Young Shabazz.
So hold the line, Young Shabazz, and we'll be black to you tonight. We got Ken Ivey live of the hip hop fraternity, and we'll get black to you. As what we want. Thank you so much. As we're awaiting him at 8:20 for Black Power. And
Black Power. So let's go to.
And you got him on your line? Do you have him live on your line?
Yeah, so while we wait, we want to listen to a couple of choice history that he had concerning 48 laws of the game, pimpology, in the art of human chess, literary components, and how we can actually navigate the ways that our laws have derived, how incarceration has sunk below level for our young black people. So we want to see how we can get results during May 19th through the 21st in Los Angeles, where we have an investors dinner May 22nd, where we will be investing in metaverse and resources for our black youth.
Black power. However, now we have our beloved brother Ken Ivey, I believe, right out there at the 404. We're going to press down and see if we can pull up our brother Ken Ivey. You're live on Black Power Radio with the co-host of Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar tonight. Our host is in Los Angeles with Dr. Mello Desire. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power.
Black Power. Welcome, Ken Ivey.
Thank you all for having me. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. Now, you've come a long way from the days of Chicago. Can you tell us a little bit about humble beginnings of 4759 South Federal and where it took you today as Professor Ken?
Okay, well, my father's from Oxford, Mississippi. My grandfather, Mr. Nelson Ivey, he's one of the largest landowner in Mississippi. We have currently 160 acres. It only take 120 acres to make a city. So we have our own city down there in Mississippi. So I come from royal blood, you know, but my father was a hustler. He come to Chicago hustling. My Uncle Greasy, they was hustlers, you know. So, of course, their parenting skills and all that. But anyway, you know, it inspired me. You know, everybody want to be like their daddy. You know, my daddy was my hero. So I wanted to be a street dude, you know, because Pops was street, you know. But my grandfather was a businessman. You know, he was married to an Indian woman, full-blooded Indian woman, down there in Oxford, Mississippi. So, but they came up here, and my Uncle Greasy was kind of slick, you know, street dude. So, you know, anyway, by the time I was 14, you know, I was living in the Robert Taylor Projects, and I called attempted murder. You know, my brother and I, we were on the L, that's called the train, probably to most people on the East, or a martyr down here. So we was on the the train, and the white dude started talking crazy to my brother. He was in Oak Park, Illinois, which is at that time was the land of the Ku Klux Klan. So my brother and the white dude get into it, and my brother pushed the white dude, and he pushed him on the L tracks. Now, on the L tracks, if you touch the third rail, you can get electrocuted. Because of that, they charged us with murder, attempted murder. So we was 14 years old. My brother was 16. So we in the Cook County Jail, you know, which, you know, was crazy. But, you know, they talk about the pipeline from school to penitentiary. You know, once I got in there, I ain't learned nothing but how to be a better criminal, how to do this, how to join gangs and all this and that and the other. I spent 3 months in there, but we eventually ended up beating the case. So long and short, went to Milwaukee, got to Milwaukee, and got with some bad actors, and we end up stealing some checks and some stuff, some little petty stuff. And I tried to cash the check. Now, mind you, I'm ignorant as ignorant can be, and I didn't even know that if you try to cash the check with somebody else's name on it, that you can go to jail for it. So the federal rallies came and got me, and I ended up going to reformatory school, and they taught me how to be a better criminal. So I learned more criminality, and so I ended up getting out and started, doing what they call till tapping. You know, where you steal money from the banks and snatching jewelry out of the jewelry store, because I always wanted a whole bunch of money, so I was going for the big ones. And eventually, you know, I got into the pimp gang. You know, one of my friends, he started pimping, and he had a little girl, you know. He had three girls, he gave me one, and then consequently I got in that game, and then I eventually, you know, went back to jail. And then the last time I was in jail was about 35 years ago, and that was for till tapping, you know, snatching money out of banks. And when I came home, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, I was a member of the Morris Science Temple, so I tried to do right. I tried to, you know, be upright, independent, and fearless, and, you know, follow the teachings of the Honorable Noble Dry Lee. But the temptation was so great that I ended up becoming the number one pimp in the world, unfortunately.
Wow.
You know, so I ended up getting into that world. And, you know, I was a nice-looking young guy and dressed nice, you know, and a lot of women was just, you know, pouring themselves over on me. And back then I was young. And so one day HBO came up to me and they said, Ken, we would like to do a movie on you. And it's just a little bell in my head. All the time I was in prison, I taught myself how to read, got my GED, eventually went to the prison college, got made the dean list, you know, read all the books in the world. Dr. Chancellor Williams, Dr. Ben, you know, Naeem Akbar. I'm just studying to educate myself, reading everything. So I had a little intelligence, you know, just a little bit, not a lot. So I thought I was going to get out and be a great Moorish American sheik. You know, unfortunately, one of my friends, the same guy that gave me my first girl, you know, introduced me to the pimp game. He now it became one of the biggest, you know, hustlers in the game. So he had all kind of Jaguars and Mercedes Benz. Gave me a little money, and I got on my feet, and eventually I became that person that HBO, back to what I was saying, came to me, and you know, they said, we would like to do a movie on you. And that, and going back to all that prison stuff I just talked about, it dawned on me, I read a lot of books, too. You know, I used to read a lot of business weeklies and entrepreneurial. So I said, well, if these people want to do business with me, I need to go and negotiate. So I brought them to the mill, and you know, we negotiated, gave me $80,000, and they gave me credits on the film, and that began my film career. And at that point, I didn't commit a crime. I haven't done anything. I haven't gotten to the pimp game again. I gave all that up, and then I started my film company. Did my first film, which was called Pimpology, a sequel to that film. And then I did Ghetto Streets, Executive Suites. I did Best of Both Worlds. I ended up getting signed by Simon & Schuster. And they did a book on me called Where They Lost the Game.
Yeah, let's talk about Simon & Schuster, because you actually was in a contract deal. And can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of flipped the table around with your literary deal with Simon & Schuster?
Well, Simon & Schuster gave me $250,000 to write a book. And at the time, you know, I was like, you know, that was a lot of money to me, because nobody never gave me anything, you know, $250,000. You know, of course, I'd been on 40 million records. I'd been on all these videos, so my name was kind of popping. And, of course, they do their due diligence, you know. But in the deal, it said that I would get 15%. So I said, oh, wow, that's great, 15%. But it was a word called revert. And the word revert means that, you know, once you get to the paperback, it reverts to 5%. So I'm a year or two, they're selling millions of dollars of books. It's the number one selling book in prison. So I go and I bang my accountant. I said, I want to do a forensic accounting on you guys. Y'all owe me some money. So I did the accounting and come to find out that I wasn't at 15%, that the paperback only rolled for like 2 months, and then it went to the hardcover went for 2 months, then it went to a paperback. And now, you know, I'm only getting 5%. So I realized at that point that I was being pimped, but being that I was a former pimp, I knew I was being pimped. I thought, oh, there's a pimp in here. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay, well. So what I did, I asked him, I said, listen, at this time it was the advent of the, you know, social media, Facebook, MySpace, and people were, you know, pretty much doing everything on their phone. So I went up to my publisher, Simon Schuster. I said, look, I said, how about I give you $50,000, you know, for the audiobook rights to my book. And so we agreed, you know, after a few phone calls and a few emails, we agreed to do it. So I went up there, and what I did, let me take you back one step. I went on the internet, I looked at some contracts, and I constructed me a contract, and I changed the word, you know, a little bit to fit my specification. And then I put the word in there. Once I said I would pay Simon Schuster $50,000, with the exception that the money must come from the future royalties of the book, The 48 Laws of Game, which was already in the market. So when I mm-hmm. went there, I'm sitting down with these Harvard and these Cambridge and these Oxford University lawyers, and we sitting down. And so I pulled the checkbook out, and I wrote $50,000 on it, but I never endorsed it. And I made sure that they seen that I fit it real slow. And I put on the contract a Jewish name, so it seemed like it was coming from my lawyers called Lindbergh. You know, so I put Lindbergh on the contract, and I showed them the contract, and I signed the thing. I said, okay. I said, I flipped the check over. I said, okay, well, here go the $50,000. I said, y'all read over the contract. So they scammed over real quick, you know, and, you know, I said, here go the check. And so we signed, I endorsed it. I picked a contract up. I walked out the door, you know, and I said, mm-hmm. you know, my publisher called me and said, hey, Ken, you owe us $50,000. I said, no, man. I said, I owe you nothing, man. I said, did y'all read the contract? Same thing you told me. So I figured, I said, well, they pimped me. So now I pimped down. Now, if you go to audible.com and you look up the owner of the audio, the 48 Laws of Game, it's Ken Ivey. I own both of my audio. And that was classic, and it was so classic that the same company that I so-called, you know, pull a fast one on ended up hiring me. Now I'm a literary agent. I just signed Ice-T, I signed Boosie, I signed Corey Wise from the Central Park Five. So, you know, now I'm actually working side by side with them because they realized that I was a formidable opponent and I was just as intelligent as they were. And I didn't go up in there with a pistol. I didn't go up in there screaming. I just used their game on them. And, you know, that's what my brothers and sisters in the hip-hop fraternity, that you don't have to be violent. You don't have to, you know, if you come at these people with an intelligent tone, if you play them on their level, you know. And one thing I like about Dr. Claude Anderson, when he say, you know, we got to practice group politics, we got to practice group economics. You know, this is how we beat them people. We beat them at their own game. You know, in the Jewish community, mm-hmm. their money bounced 15 to 20 times. You know, in the Arab community, 10 to 15 times. In the Mexican community, 8 to 10 times. In the Cuban community, 8 to 10 times. In the African-American community once. And sometimes it don't even bounce once. So once we start spending our money, we get into that 360, that circle, and we get to circulate our money back to each other, and then we all become prosperous. I tell people all the time, I say, I love the concept of Black Wall Street. I mean, it was a great concept.
Yeah.
But when you look at the backstory of Black Wall Street, 300 niggas got killed. Excuse my words, mm-hmm. by colloquialism. But that's what they called them. They said 300 niggas got killed by an angry white mob. You look at Martin Luther King. I love Martin Luther King. He's got a monument in Washington, D.C. He got a street on every block. You know, he got a national holiday, but they killed him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I'm here to tell everybody that Black Wall Street is hip-hop. It's hip-hop. Mm. It's Black Wall Street. Hip-hop has made more black millionaires. Kanye West is worth $9 billion. He's worth more than the total GDP of Black Wall Street. He's worth two. The Black Wall Street GDP was number 2.5 billion. Kanye worth $9 billion. So we have to, you know, the glory and the shame has been misplaced. We have to get focused. We have to, you know, if we change our mentality, we can change our reality. If we change our attitude, we can change our aptitude. And I think that's the problem within our African or Moorish American, or whatever you want to call it, community, is that, you know, they're playing a shell game. You know, they you think you see the ball, but the ball is never there. It's in between their fingers. You know, and until we begin to practice group economics, until we begin to unify with one another, you know, everybody told me, they said, Ken, you cannot start a black organization called the Hip Hop Attorney because niggas ain't going to listen and young niggas don't listen to old niggas. It ain't going to happen. This is what they're telling me. But I said, okay, right. Well, you know, Newton said, you know, the theory of relativity said that whatever goes up, come down. But, you know, that was defied by the Wright brothers. They said, you get some petrol, you get some gas, and you get some aerodynamics, you can fly in the sky for hours. So, you know, that's what we got to begin. We got to begin to defy, you know, the narratives that has been imposed upon us and has been inoculated to our community. And that's what I'm here to do. That's my purpose, and that's why the Hip Hop Attorney was built, and that's why we have 2,000 members. We have 7 states that's currently on chapters, and we're continuously building. They're calling me for every podcast, every media outlet in the world because they want to see how is you able to organize these young African-American, Moorish American children. And I said, so they're not going to follow Minister Farrakhan. They're not going to follow T.D. Jakes. The people that follow T.D. Jakes are going to follow him. The people that follow Minister Farrakhan, FYI, they love him. They're going to follow him. But these kids, they following themselves. And when you want to find these kids, they all in hip-hop. Look at Lil Wayne, all them tattoos on his face. He wear a red rag. He's a blood. Since Lil Wayne said he's a blood, everybody want to be bloods now. Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, they don't do nothing but shake their butts. What is that young girls doing on Instagram now? They shaking their butts and they look just like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, you know, and that's what's killing our community because we have to understand is that, you know, if we don't get into hip hop, we're going to miss the whole narrative. That's where all the damage is being done. You know, these record labels, you know, I'm on 42 million records. And I'm on record, so I've been on every 50 Cent album, Lil Jon, Too Short, everybody album you can name. I've been on all the albums, so I see the checks. I get royalty checks from these companies. So I understand that these people, all they care about is teaching, is sending filth and debauchery into our community, and they're giving these guys billions of dollars and millions of dollars to make this garbage, and they go home, and their children is living in the suburbs, while our children is living in war zones, because if you go into Vietnam, all you see is a lot of shooting and a lot of killing, and, you know, them soldiers is suffering from a post-traumatic stress disorder. So what do you think our children is suffering from? They're suffering from the same thing, because the same killing is going on in Vietnam as is going on in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? You had 7,000 murders in Chicago, so that means that, you know, they're experiencing the same thing they experienced in Vietnam. So we have to take hip-hop, and that's why we started the hip-hop fraternity. It's going to have to start with that. You know, we use that, and then that'd be our premise. You know what I'm saying? That'd be our starting point, and then eventually, like I was telling Sheikh Akbar, we go from there to start teaching them about knowledge itself. We start teaching them about economics. We start teaching them about business, and they'll sit down and listen to you as long as you put a mic in their face. And I don't mean to be loquacious, but I just wanted to get that out.
Oh, no. You mean you hit the nail on the head. This is exactly what we've been saying for a long time. We have to reach our young people where they are. Now, you right now are one of the top literary agents, especially for the rap game. Can you tell us what was the top influences that had you create Pimpology, the 48 Laws of the Game, and the Art of Human Chess?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I got to be honest with you. When at the time Simon Schuster called me, they offered me $25,000. I said that won't even pay for the front end clip on my Rolls Royce. So no, I don't want $25,000. So they said, well, you know, a couple of years later, they said we give you $250,000. So I said, come on, let's do it. So that was the motivation. I mean, all that writing I did, the 5-paragraph forms and all that stuff I learned, English 101 and English 102 in college, it just, all of a sudden, it just started coming out of my pores. So I just started writing the book. And Karen Hunter, I know you know Karen Hunter. She wrote Wendy Williams' book. She wrote the video Vixen with Corinne Steph, and she was my co-author. So she couldn't write the way I write. You know, me and her had two different styles of writing, you know. So what I told her, I said, let me just write the book. So I wrote the book, and she just basically corrected my, you know, my grammar and whatever, you know. She did the editing and so forth, and then we got another editor that comes with the publishing company. So that's what motivated me. But then at the time I was writing it, I thought about the books that I read, The 48 Laws of Power, Think and Grow Rich, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know, and I kind of just made that book a parody of all those books. And I kind of said, well, here's a perfect opportunity for me to talk street and at the same time teach them, you know, these philosophies, you know, this self-help philosophy. So my book ended up in the self-help category of Burns and Nobles. So that's what I did. And then my second book, it was passionate by the first book because I said, wow, I can write. You know, I can really write. I'm looking at my ratings on Amazon. I said, man, people love the way I write. People really love me. They love the way I write. So I came up with my other book, The Art of Human Chess. And so I wanted to delineate, or I wanted to kind of like show people, look, everything that's going on in these streets is cool. But the same thing that's going on in these streets, and these same street people, everything we're doing in the streets, brothers and sisters, I'm talking to my brothers in the streets. I said, everything we do in the streets is the same thing Barack Obama doing. They playing chess. I said, the same thing Magic Johnson doing, same thing Oprah Winfrey doing, same thing Sylvester Stallone. And so I use them as example case studies in my book to show people that, you know, Barack Obama, you know, it was a strategy. You know, here he is, you know, a so-called black man in America, you know, and he was considered to be an angry black man. He did everything in his power not to be the angry black man. He went over into Iowa, and he stayed in Iowa for months. Now, I know people don't – this ain't politics. I'm just showing the strategy. So he stayed over there for months and months and months and months and months, and then he ended up beating Hillary Clinton. You know, usually whoever went Iowa and New Hampshire, that means that you are the presumptive nominee. So what he did, he disrupted that. He disrupted that system, and then he became a rock star. You know, every time white folks see Michael Jackson, they follow, oh, my God, Michael. So he created that same syndrome, you know, the Barack syndrome, and he was able to, you know, galvanize white people and stimulate white people and have white people look at him like, you know, he was a rock star. And then by this point, by this time, he killed him. Now, here's the ultimate chess move that Barack did. You know, and I talk about this in my book. He was able to get to Mark Zuckerberg. He got the Mark Zuckerberg to piss $2 donation buttons on everybody's Facebook page. And that's how he was able to raise $1 billion because they had 1 billion people. So at 1 billion people, you don't need for $2 a person to get $2 billion. And that's how he was able to win the presidency, along with all the other stuff that we know to come with that. And then Hillary, you know, he killed her because he knew, being a constitutional lawyer, if she didn't win New Hampshire, she didn't win those first two states, then they had to go the long haul. And he wore out, and nobody had ever done that before. So that's what I said. So when we out in the streets and we running game and we selling drugs and, you know, we go out there, you know, we giving $2 packs out and, you know, we telling the dope fiends, hey, man, y'all can get this. And then we, you know, we taking somebody else traffic. And then now we selling dimes and we end up selling ounces and keys and we become these big time drug dealers and end up going doing big tech, big time. I said, you know, this is what's going on. I said, the criminal justice system is the same thing. Think about it. That's what we're talking about. The criminal justice system, what did the government do? They said they gave you Pimps Up, Hold Down, which I was on. They gave you America, a Pimp. I was on that too. And they gave us New Jack City, and they gave us a Scarface. So Scarface made every young black man and every mostly Cuban want to be big-time drug dealers. Then after that, they gave us New Jack City, and Nina Brown taught them how to snitch. So now you had both of these two elements, and the third element is that they gave us the Rockefeller laws, they gave us the three strikes you outlaws, they gave us the new sentencing enhancement laws, and every African American went for that Scarface and that New Jack City. Everybody wanted to run the Carter Projects. All of them ended up going to penitentiary. And then the ultimate checkmate was they hit them with the Al Capone law, the RICO law. You know what I'm saying? They talking about we can't even organize, you know. And political, how are we going to organize crime? We ain't got the capacity, the intelligence. You know, we spent 250 years being divided. How are we going to, you know, and all this is just stuff I talk about in my book. So I know, like I said, I get excited when I'm talking. I'm sorry, sister.
No.
I'm sorry, I don't want to talk too much.
No, not at all.
I don't want to confuse your listeners, make them think I'm just a show-off and a talker. I know I really don't talk that much.
No, that's where research comes in, because your history and the footprints that you left, including the 48 laws, and the changes you want to make with legislation, which we'll talk more about on January 9th. But we want our listeners to know that there are people out there that are putting the work out on our behalf as a whole. And we're just scratching the surface right now, and we want to just know the inspiration as to how you became from the streets and turn your life around, and what was that turning point for you that says, let me change my pimp status into something that is more opening, like a professor status? What was that?
Can I say something, Doc?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, as a Moorish American, I read the Bible, because Donovan Ojala Ali said these 18 years of mission, I should hold the Bible. You know, and,
yeah.
You know, it was some knowledge, it was some wisdom that's missing out. So sometimes I read the Bible, and I was reading the story on David. And David, you know, was a shepherd boy, but David amazed me, you know, because I said, well, what was David's motivation, you know, for killing Goliath? And I figured it out. If you read the story, it was a point in the story where David was listening in on a conversation. And in that conversation, they was telling him the spoils and the advantage of being a king. And he knew that you be a king, you have all these concubines, you can do all this, you can do all this, you can do this. And he was privy to another level of understanding, you know. And so when he killed Goliath, he didn't kill him, he hit him with the rock first. And he knocked him off balance. Then he took his sword and he killed him. So when I look at that story and I look at the motivation of David, you know, King David, I'm looking at David as looking at it like, well, you know, I'm a short man. I'm a shepherd boy. You know what I'm saying? If I kill this giant, I could be king. So my thing was, when I started talking to Simon & Schuster, and I got in those corporate offices in New York, and I started dealing with millions and millions of dollars, the conversation changed, Dr. Mello. I got privy to a whole nother level of conversation. So now when I formed my organization, I got my own radio station. I got my own magazine. I own my own social media. You know, I own my own, you know, we do the hip-hop, HHS Hip-Hop Awards. You know, we own everything. I own the trademark. I own everything. You know, I own all my stuff, because now I'm listening to this conversation. I said, oh, okay, if I own my own thing, then I can catch a whale. I don't fish for sharks. I don't fish for goldfish, Dr. Miller. I fish for whales. So the whale is the biggest ocean and the biggest fish in the ocean. So corporate America is my whale. I know how to go and get millions and millions of dollars from these corporate sharks and these corporate people, because they want more than anything is this culture capital that we have. And also because of the demography, the change in demography, you know what I'm saying? And more other races are also buying into our culture, because we are rhythmatic people. They love us ever since Miles Davis and John Coltrane and Dizzy Gillespie. They've been trying to get into our culture. So hip-hop allows them to get into the culture and to be a part of that experience. So now that I know this, now I understand the change of market, then I understand the acceleration of fame. So I said, wow, okay, if all this is transpiring in hip-hop, and I know how these people bite, I know how to catch them, I know how to catch a whale, because, you know, I'm in corporate America, you know, I'm doing millions and millions of dollars worth of deals. You know what I'm saying? I didn't sign, Boosie is signed to me. You know, Ice-T is signed to me. I mean, you know, people probably don't believe that, but it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, I'm really in corporate America. Yeah. So now, like David, I got a different perspective. I ain't out there trying to sell women no more. I ain't out there trying to sell drugs no more. The conversation, like David, I've been privy to a whole nother conversation. I know how to get the millions now. I know what these people, you know, with the spoils and with the advantages of doing it right. So, and doing it in something that's very simple, hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? So I started a whole entity, hip-hop fraternity. And, you know, we sold over 2,000 jackets legitimately. You know what I'm saying? We sold clothes legitimately. You know, I got my own social media. You know, I got this. So everything that Facebook, you can do on Facebook, you do on IG, you can do on my social media, thehiphopfraternity.com. I have my own magazine. You know, I have my own artist. I have my own record label. I have my own management team. And it's all under one entity. And that's what Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about. That's what Malcolm was talking about. See, I don't want to talk no more. Let's do something. So that's why I got the hip hop attorney, because I'm practicing group economics. I tell my people, your skill set, your asset, if we support each other, when we put a video, we all share that video simultaneously. You know, when we put our music up on that paywall on thehiphopattorney.com, we all support it. We buy it, and then we keep buying each other's stuff, and we keep spending money with each other. Guess what? The money going to bounce. And then we can take that money and that leverage, and we can make moves for real, for real. And that's what we're building. We're building a empire, you know, on hip hop, because that's I heard that conversation. I eased in on them, and I heard how they offered me $3 million to sign Bruno Mars. They offered me $1 million to Travis Scott. And when they offered me this money, Dr. Mello, you know, I'm trembling in my seat. I'm like, what? You give me $3 million to Bruno Mars? If you can get Taylor Swift, we give you $10 million. And they're talking about it like it's nothing. And I'm like, wow, I've been trying to get thousands. I've been trying to be a thousandaire, and here I am. You know, I'm privy to become a millionaire. I'm in the wrong room. So you get in the right room, and you start talking to people. And then, you know, if you got any kind of common sense, you know, and in my book, Pimpology, once again, I say, in every situation, there's a pimp and a hoe. Either you're somebody pimping or somebody hoeing. Either somebody getting over on you or you getting over on them. So that's how the game goes, no matter how you look at it. Just like they talk about in the 48 laws of power. You know, whether you like deception or not, it don't make a difference. The person next to you is trying to deceive you. So if you don't even, if you're not deceptive, cool, but at least learn it to not to be deceived. You know, so that's what I'm on. I'm on like, you know, just give me all the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that you can give me. Let me formulate a plan. Let me formulate a strategy. Let me maneuver, and let me do the things that I talk about in the Art of Human Chess. Let me play chess and not checkers, and let me win, you know, because that's what my book is called, The Study Guide to Winning. So that's all it is. Sister, I transitioned from the streets to the executive suites, from the ghetto blocks to the Wall Street stocks, from the sewer to the entrepreneur, because only one thing, because I was privy to a different level of understanding of money and economics and group and how to organize my people. You know, I read Dr. Ben Jacquin. I read the Black Man Down in His Family. I read the ISIS paper. You know what I'm talking about. Dr. Francis Cress Welsh. I read her book. I read Dr. Naeem Akbar book. I read, you know, Cottage E. Wilson. You know, I read The Stolen Legacy. I read all of this, you know, and this is what made me become who I am. It's so many things, Dr. Mello, I can't even explain to you, but this is what you got.
And I'm so glad that you came to this point. Now, if a young Black man or girl wants to get a deal or wants to reach the levels of entrepreneurship, what's the first step Hip Hop Fraternity does in order to lead them to that direction?
Well, first thing what we do is we educate them. You know, we teach them about cryptology. We teach them about NFCs, NFTs. We teach them about the blockchain. And then we teach them about their publishing, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. These things are very important for our young people to know. And then once we teach them the business side, you know, because I got a philosophy. I was telling Dr. Akbar earlier, I was saying that if somebody come to you, if you go to a record label and say, here's 100% of my intellectual property, right? And then they say, well, okay, Ken, we're going to give you a record deal. We're going to give you 15 cents. We're going to keep 85 cents. But if they sell a million, that's 80. $850,000, that's $150,000 for you. So we're saying, no, hold on, hold the brakes. You know what I'm saying? This is your intellectual property. Congress say that you own 100% of this, you know, unless you got a producer, then that's a split sheet. You own 50, he own 50. So what you want to do is you want to negotiate from the top to the bottom. And that's what I try to teach them, is how to negotiate. I teach you with an escalation clause, with a de-escalation clause, how to handle business, you know what I'm saying? How to, you know, when to get a lawyer, when not to get a lawyer. You know, when to hire an accountant, when not to hire an accountant. Just teaching them basic business skills, you know, 1, 2, 3, and ABCs, of the business. You know what I'm saying? Once they understand how to conduct business and how to make deals, and then we won't be seeing these travesties that we see in the hip-hop community. You know, all these artists talking about they ain't got no money and their label won't let them do this and this and that and the other. You know, we teach them how to bypass that. So that's what we teach them at the hip-hop fraternity. First, how to become businessmen and women. We teach them the business because it's 90% business and 10% music. And then after that, we teach them about equity. You know, I also do liquor deals. A lot of people, don't drink liquor, but, me and my partner, we help a couple of famous rappers that you might know get liquor deals. And I also help them get, clothing deals, cologne deals. You know, so I'm a brand ambassador. I'm a broker. I broker deals, but I teach, artists that you don't want to do an endorsement. You don't want to do a marketing share. You don't want to do none of these things. You want to be an equity owner in each one of these companies, as 50 Cent was, and Vitamin Water, and Dr. Dre was, and Beats by Dre. You know, because somebody gives you something, that might be charity. But what you want is brand integration. So we teach these kids how to integrate their brands with other brands. You know, like Jay-Z just did with Louis Vuitton and Hennessy. You know, they give them $300 million to, be a part of the company. You want to be on the equity side, because what happens is, in the case of Kanye became, he started the Yeezys. He did a good job at marketing, and his share of that was, some billions. You know, now if they gave him, $100 million to be a, endorser of the product, you don't really get no money. So we just teaching them that little simple stuff. It seems like, they don't teach you this in Harvard or Yale or Princeton. They don't teach you this stuff. This is common sense. It's common sense.
Right.
No, I don't want $100,000 endorsed the product. Give me 10%. That's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we teach them, common sense.
Love. That's right.
Yeah.
And everything that you have been doing is exactly what we want to sponsor our youth 300 for a future Hip Hop Academy Los Angeles chapter, which we'll talk more about later on in the upcoming episodes. But we are so grateful for you to be with us today. And this is only an introduction, Black family, of some of the brilliant people that are on board with really trying to make a change for our community. So if you're not about it, if you don't have a plan, you might as well get lost, because this is the time right now. It's about getting it done. And Ken Ivy, you have definitely shown that in our community. Now, is there a way that they can reach you? And also, I don't know how long you can stay for, but there might be some questions. You might have some callers coming in to ask you a few questions. Would you hang around for a bit?
Yeah, I can ask maybe one or two.
Okay.
No problem. But they can reach me at, they get all my books at audible.com. They can get them at amazon.com, Target. They can get them at Walmart. They can get them at Barnes & Noble. My book is sold all over the country. The book is called The Art of Human Chess, A Study Guide to Winning. My other book is called The 48 Laws of Game, Pimpology. And don't let the word pimpology fool you. And when you think about pimping Ken, that's what I'm doing. I'm pimping myself. I'm pimping Ken. So you can find me also at Pimping Ken _ A Real Pimp Ken _ on Instagram, and the same thing on Snapchat. And if you really want to follow me and see what I'm really got going on, go to thehiphopfraternity.com. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, go to HHF_magazine, and you can see some of the things we're doing with the magazine. And that's on Instagram. So, we all over. We got HHF radio, too. I got a radio station, too. So, we're just doing a lot of progressive and positive things, just trying to lead by example. I speak with two tongues, one in my mouth and one in my shoe. I walk the walk and I talk the talk.
That's right. And that is a T-shirt, as we said before. Your quotes definitely are one that keeps us going. Now, the 48 laws, which law would you advise us to start really looking at first? I know there's many to choose from, but like law number 36, be well known, law number 4, keep them broke. Like, what law would you keep in the top three for us to keep in mind?
Well, the one I like the most, Dr. Miller, is purse first and ass last. And the reason why I say that is because if you go to McDonald's and you order a 2-hour beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, pickles, onion, and sesame seed bun, which is the Big Mac, they say, okay, yeah, you're going to get the Big Mac. You pay a window one, but you don't get the Big Mac to window two. So in that law, I talked about creating value. And I think that's the problem with a lot of us. You know, we don't have value. You know what I mean? We don't put enough value on ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Some of us, we get to a certain point and we get what I call the unworthy syndrome. So the unworthy syndrome is simple. So you get all the way to the top. You go, you graduate from college. You know, you get a degree. You know, you work for a Fortune 500 company. You know, you get very successful. And then you go cheat on your wife with one of the secretaries. And then they hit you with a crazy charge, you know, like they did in the case of Cuomo, you know, the mayor of New York. And, you know, they get all the way. And the reason why they didn't feel they was worthy, they had the unworthy sense because that was their father's thing. Their father was a father. So they're chasing their father's, you know, dream. And what happens is they become unworthy. They don't have no value. So what I'm saying, you create value by your thinking, you know, whatever your mind believes and conceive, and you write your goals down and you put that in your subconscious mind, and then you become valuable, and then you can charge what you want to charge. So when I say purse first, ask last, I said, you gonna think, if I'm going to take a chance, give me my cash in advance. If you think I'm handsome, pay the ransom. You know, if you can't give me no assistance, keep your distance. And that was just all I was saying, was that I was the Picasso. I was the Michelangelo. So pay for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm rare. I'm not like everybody else. I'm unique. I'm the only person in the country with this fingerprint. So you can pay it. You know, you can pay in like your way in. If you can't pay in like your way in, you can't stay in. That's just how I thought, you know. So that's why that – and then I use that in every – that's why when I go in, I negotiate for Ice-T and I'm negotiating for Lil Boosie, that's how I go in there. I go in there. If I want $5,000, I ask for $25,000. I want $100,000, I ask for $500,000. And usually I end up getting $250,000. You know, because I put value on myself, you know, because I'm asking for the purse first, you know, and they don't know what they're going to get, you know. So I use the same philosophy in corporate America. I'm selling a Boosie book, but we don't know if the book going to be good or not, but it's purse first, ass last. I'm selling an Ice-T book. We don't know if the book going to be good or not, but it's purse first, ass last, you know, and that's why I say that's one of my best chapters, because it works in every day of my life.
That's right. Know your value. That is so precious. Now, I definitely want Shaky Mom, if you have any questions for Ken, we definitely, this is the time for, because I know he has to leave soon, and we would like for you to join us next week, January 9th, where we will be discussing with Professor Ken Ivey the CCA stocks, prison, how the laws that we can change, like, right away, rather than waiting another 400 years of complacency. So this is something that is urgent, and we ask everyone to be proactive. When you're listening to advice from people who have walked the walk and talked the talk, you've got to emulate it. So again, thanks, Ms. Ivey, for coming tonight and being our special guest. Are you shaking me?
Well, we have an onboard professor, and I mean, I guess most of the vast listening audience and the participating audience probably as happy as Goldilocks that got stuck in a boot camp. And we're overjoyed here at Black Power Radio to have you, Mr. Ken Ivey, and the remarkable impression that you have had on the hip-hop world, but directly on our young people, whether they actually involve the hip-hop or not. And most of the artists that you name, I've either been security for them at some point. And today, what do you think is the really outstanding achievement that you are looking forward to in the either you want to call it the game of hip-hop or directly in the fraternity of hip-hop? What is your, short-term goal, and give me a long-term goal for the hip-hop fraternity, Black Power?
Well, Doc, well, brother, you know, I've been on, I did an album with 50 Cent that went platinum.
Yes.
I did an album with Lil Jon that did 8 million. That's 8-time platinum. I did another album that did 2 million. This means I featured on his album. I featured with Jermaine Dupri that went platinum. I did a song with their boy P. Diddy, and that was with Loon. That went double platinum. Me and Pimp C did 5 albums. I did Lil Jon 2 show. I mean, the list go on. So because I've done that, you know I'm privy, you know, you're in the business, you know they have to pay me publishing, right? So, right. I, you know, I get checks every quarter for all the work that I did, you know. So I'm getting decent checks every 4 months for the work that I did. So I understand how publishing works, but most of my partners and some of the people that I talk about that I mentioned I was on the album, they don't even receive publishing. They don't even receive, you know, the money that they for the intellectual property. They don't even know what copyright control means. They don't even know the six slices of publishing. They don't even know how publishing is broke down. They don't even know how to get the money. So that discouraged me. You know what I mean? That upset me. So what my mission is in this hip-hop community is to teach each and every one of these guys, you know, their property value. You know what I'm saying? To teach them what their IP is, their intellectual property, and to disrupt the entire music industry and let all these people know that, you know, they can get more money by owning and being independent and having an autonomous mentality. And that's what we're, that's my whole goal and purpose of it, is just to show them that you can own your own radio, you can own your own businesses, you can own your own this, you can own your own that. You don't need these people for anything, that all they do is, you know, take your hard-earned work and go get paid off of it. You know, a lot of these guys don't know that, you know, now they didn't switch it from publishing to RSIC, you know, or RSIC codes, which are digital codes that they use that are connected to orbit, the satellites in orbit, that let them know exactly where the music is being played and when it's being played. So everybody's screaming publishing now when they need to be talking about owning their RSICs. So that's what I'm teaching them, is, you know, the different business, and show them how to disrupt this market and how to get all of their money as opposed to getting some of the money. That's my mission with the hip-hop fraternity, to educate and teach everybody in the hip-hop community how to own and how to control their own intellectual property.
That's
absolutely
so key.
Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Given the time parameters that we do have, that's a great answer, and we look forward to so many more great, the great insight that you do have in the total business world, and especially in the hip-hop fraternity. I wanted to go straight to the phone lines and pick up a few callers. We do see Imam Abdul Ali is in the mix, and I wanted to introduce you all just before you left. So I want to give an opportunity to a caller at 864-340. You're actually live on Black Power Radio, our guest Ken Ivey and Dr. Mella Desire.
Peace, and Black Power to the family. I will to everybody as well. This is your brother Equine. I'm calling from South Carolina, and you know, I'm 40 years old, and I definitely subscribe to everything Brother Ken was speaking about. Definitely been a follower of his, you know what I'm saying, understanding and realizing what he has brought to the hip hop world. For about almost two decades now, and where he is the one now turning some of the things he was initially doing into cultivating moments for our people and our children. I think that is definitely Black Power, teaching ourselves, teaching ourselves and our children how we can turn boo-boo or turn something that's not so good and utilize that as fertilizer, you know, for our, for our fruits, for our vegetables. So like I said, I as an artist, I as a producer, I have been a one that I, you know, people have wanted me to do music, but I have been at a place where I haven't wanted to do any because of the nature. It's such violent. Every song that comes out now is about art music. It's about, you know, even with our women. Meg Thee Stallion is one of the biggest rappers, right? She got a Nike endorsement deal. But she got that almost being like Sarah Barton, you understand, parading herself and, you know, thotting. So, you know, I would love to be a part of the hip-hop fraternity, being able to, you know, teach what I have to offer to children, and also being able to share what I have to offer with those artists, with those producers, with the listeners, the world, in order to make make that change. You know, I as an affiliate in the in and for the Uhuru Academy, there are a lot of children there. This is an African-centered school. So I would love to become a part of that, you know, in order to bring and open that doorway up to those children. Because there have been those sessions where I've been able to sit down and make beats for them at some sleepovers we had, and, you know, kind of get them to get out or tap outside of the normalcy of, you know, just doing thug stuff and, you know, now exercising creativity and imagination out there to do other things. So I salute to you, Brother Ken. I salute
to you. Thank
you,
brother. You're in Atlanta,
salute,
right?
Salute to the whole. No, I'm in South Carolina. I'm in South Carolina. So if I could, you know, find out if I can leave my info or find out how I could connect or become more engaged.
Well, DM me at RealPimpKen_, and we trying to get a chapter up there in South Carolina as well. So we would definitely, brother, we would be very, very, very happy to work with you. And you know, man, hey, man, thanks for the kind words, man. I'm honored, brother.
Oh, likewise, mm-hmm. brother. Keep up the good work. And did you say the real pimp? Real Pimp Ken_.
Or you can go to thehiphopfraternity.com and you'll see a picture of me as CEO, and you can probably hit that picture. You can probably email me that way. Or if you just want to get in contact, everybody know my number anyway. It's 404-790-9627. You call me direct.
Okay.
404-790-9627. A lot of people say I'm crazy for giving my number out, but man, I wouldn't be talking to y'all if I ain't gave my number out. You know,
I'm so hood, man.
I'm so hood as a shade. They call me Holly Hood.
Hey, Can I say this? I'm driving right now. Could I leave my number if that's possible? I'm sorry.
What's your number, brother?
I'm gonna make sure. I'll make sure that he'll be in contact with Mr. Ken Harvey. Mr. Ken Harvey will be in touch with you. And thank you again.
Okay,
thank
you all.
Thank
you all.
State of
thank
South
you all.
Carolina. I feel
thank
I'm gonna
you.
Black power. Black
power. Power to black power.
I can take one more question, then I got to get to a meeting. Okay. I got a meeting. I got my whole board.
What I'm
going to
do right at this juncture with our packed lines, I'm going to bring a man that's really, I mean, right in the spirit of what you're saying and doing, but he does it from a spiritual level. And our next upcoming guest, I want to introduce to you a man from Washington, D.C. Brother Ken Ivey, I want you to meet our beloved Imam Abdul Ali, who's going to talk a little bit about life after prison. As-salamu alaykum and black power.
As-salamu
alaykum. As-salamu.
Yes, sir. And you're meeting Brother Ken Harvey, who's doing the hip-hop fraternity, and he's been teamed up with the New Black Panther Party, helping to put the effort with Dr. Mello Desire. So there you are with our Imam Abdul Ali.
Yes, I was listening to some of the things that the brother was saying, and I was, you know, quite impressed with his work. Because that's one of the problems that we always have is we always look for a job instead of looking to create our own. And this is one of the things that has been holding us back for a long time. And I really would like Umar for you to, I mean, Akbar, Sheikh Akbar, you know, we have some young rappers that are here in the District of Columbia that are Muslim that, you know, we need to plug them into brothers like him before they get caught up in that foolishness with some of the other people. Because, see, we have enough agitation propaganda going on in our community directed at us. So, you know, we want to try to change the message. And this is one of the things that we've been working on, you know, after the shooting out at the Turkish masjid, you know, that particular shooting, it left three people dead and three people shot down on the ground. And, you know, we want to try to change the message. So, you know, yes, mashallah, the brother's doing a very good job.
Yeah, well, man, get my number, man. And, you know, I mean, our program is a very effective program.
basically, I don't know. I know everybody can't do like me, but what I do is I feed the kids for free. I let them perform for free, and I let them come in for free. So that was one of the tactics that we use here in Atlanta, because everybody in Atlanta, they charge these kids for their showcases. And my argument with a lot of the people was that, listen, you know, if we create an American Idol or slash Apollo type situation, we can find the next Michael Jackson, the next Lil Wayne, the next Drake. And we've been able to, you know, get some very, very talented brothers and sisters by running them through that program that now is up under HHS management, you know. And I've been feeding these kids for a year out of my pocket. Everybody say I'm crazy and I'm stupid. But, you know, like you said, man, we all Muslims. We know Allah is the best planner. Man makes plans, but Allah is the best of planners. So, you know, Allah has blessed me to be able to, you know, to give to these young kids and, you know, spend my money, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. But also somebody gave me a truck. And so we got the hip-hop fraternity trucking as well. You know, everybody that I ever did business with, when I asked them how much they charged me to lease their building, they said, you don't have to pay nothing. You can get it free. So we've been getting free lodging, and people have been giving us buildings free because they know that we're doing a naughty, we're doing a nice act. We're doing a act that's really, you know, positive. And so they respect that. You know what I'm saying? They respect that. So, you know, that's some of the things that we're doing. You know, we're just, you know, practicing, you know, what we preach. You know, we believe that it's better to give than to receive. So we're giving to the children, and we're getting back. And the children, when they see you ain't no hustle, they always say, well, they say, Uncle Ken, what's your game, man? What's your game, man? I said, my game is no game. And that's how we're killing them. We're killing them because we ain't running no game, no manipulation, no trickery or nothing. You know, we ain't charging them no money or nothing. But at the same time, you know, when we brought our clothing line out, we sold over 2,000 jackets at $300 a pop. You know, so, I mean, it's just about being honest. It's about being pure in heart. It's about being respectable. It's about taking these kids and listening to them and let them know, man, that you got a voice. And God, Allah is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Allah is going to give you that blessing. You know, and the more science we talk about the highest self and the lower self, the highest self are the mothers of virtues and harmony of life and breed justice, mercy, love, and right. The lower self is with the highest self, not and breed slander, hatred, slander, losing, murder, and theft. These are the teachings that the Honorable Noble Drew Ali taught us. So, you know, he also said love. He said, the Honorable Noble Drew Ali said, if you got love, you can draw a line straight through the Ten Commandments. If you love your brother, you're not going to kill your brother. If you love your brother, you're not going to steal from your brother. So that's what we practice. We just practice love. And, you know I've been in the streets. I've been shot. You know, I've been shot back. You know what I mean? I've been in the penitentiary, all that. I know you say, well, how can you be, you know, but if you look at Paul, you know what I'm saying? You know, before he was Paul, he was Saul. So, you know what I mean? Everybody can change. You know, everybody can convert. Everybody can do right, you know, because the same Allah is in you is in me too. So when Allah speaks to man, he don't just speak to – he spoke to Moses through a burning bush, if you want to believe that, the Torah or the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he spoke to Muhammad, may the peace and the blessing of Allah be over from Mount Arafat. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, listen, man, it's all about love. You know, that's what us old heads got to practice. We got to just get love. I get a lot of money, so I give a lot of money back. You know what I'm saying? I help a lot of people out, man. You know, if I see these kids, they don't have no avenue, I become their avenue. I help them. You know, I teach them. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying for their promotions. I'm paying for their marketing. You know, I got videographers. I pay for their videographers. I'm helping them with their career. And guess what?
Amazing.
One of them gonna become the next DZ or the next big thing because somebody showed them some love. Somebody extended that hand. And that's what these people need, man. And, you know, God going to take care of it. Allah going to take care of it. You know, y'all know how this thing go, man. We all season best on this phone. We know how it go. You know, Allah going to take care of everything. Allah got us, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what I believe in. I believe in God. I work with everybody. I work with the Nation of Islam. I work with the Sunni. I work with the, you know, the Orthodox Muslims. I work with, you know, Brother Fred Hampton, he just came to my organization, the brother from the Black Panthers, Fred Hampton Jr.'s son,
okay.
You know, the son.
Yeah.
He came to my organization, go look at my Instagram, he just spoke at my organization about 6 months ago. You know, I mean, I work with everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, we went down to Fred Hampton house and, you know, went to their fundraising down there. You know, I work with Dr. Mello. We work with everybody, man. We ain't just working with hip hop. That's just one thing that I use, but I'm down with all y'all, man. I'm ready. Hey, the revolution, man. This shit won't be televised. You know, that's done, man.
Yes, sir. Now, as everyone has come here tonight, I'm just telling you straight up, the guy most responsible for bringing this network together is out on the line. We have Brother Harold down in New Orleans. I wanted him to say at least something to you before you left the airways, say his work has come to fruition. Brother Harold, assalamu alaikum, and Black Power, do you have online?
Brother Harold, what's up, baby? What's going on, Professor Ken? I'm doing
hey,
all
man,
right.
Oh, man, me and her go back by 5 years. This is my main man right here.
Yes, sir.
I know, Brother Earl. That's my man.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk, Earl. We talk all the time anyway.
I wanted you to talk about your relationship with Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad.
Oh, yeah. Brother Khaled Muhammad, when he went from the Nation of Islam to the Black Panther Party, you know, I met him down here in Atlanta. You know, we used to go eat. I used to eat at this place called The Beautiful. He used to be down there, and we used to be eating off of Cascade. And so I met him, and we got to talking. And you know, I know his son, Brother Farrakhan. They call him Farrell now. I gave him money. I helped him with the, you know, I used to give him money for the Black Panther movement. We used to go to the All-Star game. He was just a good brother, man. He was a good teacher. He taught me a lot of things. You know, at that time I wasn't into nothing. I was still, you know, I had that little, you know, that little street thing in me. And he was telling me, but woo, woo, woo. And he was like, man, come on in. And, you know, man, I mean, before he died, he called me about a week before he died. And he said, brother, I need you to come down to Philadelphia. He was about to be in Philadelphia. And, you know, that was my main man, you know. I mean, I watched him when I was in prison because, you know, in the prison chapel, we used to watch Farrakhan. And he was, at that time, he was Farrakhan, Supreme Captain or whatever, you know. And I used to watch him on TV, and he was a very electrifying, very, you know, articulate brother. And I wanted to meet him. And lo and behold, I walk in the restaurant, and I meet the brother, and we end up becoming good friends. And then I seen his son, Farrell, in L.A. because my son, I don't know if y'all watched that show, All American. My son, he's an actor out there. He's on that show, All American, on Netflix. Ken Ivey Jr., that's my son. So him and Farrell, you know, they know each other. So I'm out there with Brother Farrell, and, you know, he seen me and the brother. You know, I said, yeah, man, you know, what's going on, man? You mean your father? Yeah, man, I remember you when I was a kid. You know, it was impressive, you know. But, yeah, that was my main man, you know. Me and Dr. Same conversation we had, me and him used to have. You know, he was surprised that I knew so much, you know, that I was well-groomed and, you know, I was into the culture like that. Yeah, but that was my main man. You know, may rest in peace.
All right. All right. Put a footnote there. The path is still frequent. The restaurant on Cascade and throughout the West End and so forth. But, brother, take you beyond your schedule, but you have certainly made a great contribution to Black Power Radio, and we will have you back as frequently as your schedule will allow. And we're just happy that you took time to share with us and our vast listening audience, and we're definitely going to give you a time to give up your contact information, any form of email, websites, et cetera, and comments and food for thought, and you have the mic, brother, and Dr. Ken Ivey. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Okay. Well, y'all can reach me at, if you want, on Instagram, it's realpimpken_. You know, if you want to, on my website, they call me Ken Ivey. Most of my members call me Ken Ivey, CEO Ken Ivey, and that's at thehiphopfraternity.com. You can join. It's free for everybody to join. You can join and you can get on the network. If you're into music, you can promote your music on there. You can upload your pictures. Everything you can do on Instagram, you can do at thehiphopfraternity.com. If you want to check out some of our daily activities, you can go to at what's the Instagram at HHF underscore magazine. You go to HHF Radio. You know, those are some of the things. You want to get my books, you can go to Barnes and Noble. You can go to Amazon.com. Type in the name Pimp and Ken. You know, because that's my that's my pen name. That's how what's the name that I write under. You know, but my next book is gonna be under Ken Ivy. I don't want to say my next book because it's so powerful. I don't want nobody to steal the name, but you know, that's how. But that's how you get in contact with me. But if you want to get in touch with me right now, go to audible.com and just type in Pimp and Ken. You can get my books and you can listen to it before you get it. You'll love it. I promise you. And I really have to go. I love y'all. And Dr. Mello, thank you, Brother Akbar. You know, Brother Harold, man, I appreciate all y'all. And the brother that called in,
yes,
man, I appreciate y'all.
I promise y'all,
when y'all have me back on the night, we're going to have a very intelligent conversation because I don't have to talk about us. We can talk about issues next time.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
All right. See y'all, man. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
All right, love, family. All right.
And Black Power. Black
Power. No problem.
Thank you so much.
Black Power.
Dr. Ken Ivy. And we're back with Dr. Mello and Imam Abdul Ali. Salam alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes,
yes, Brother Ali. So I guess this is your time of the second hour. I wanted to do a quick musical break, and then Brother Ali, are you here for us to do a quick interview with you and on some updates in D.C.?
Yes, I'm available.
All right. All right, so let's take a turn to wake up everybody, and then we'll hit right back to Imam Ali concerning. Okay.
Wake up, y'all. This is Black Torture Bar DJ from around the way, and you're listening to WAKE Radio, spreading tunes across your room. From Marvin Gaye to Hathaway, from Nina Simone to Pendergrass, we pay tribute to the legends of the past and introduce the legends of the future. Special big up to my man Johnny Stevie, who shares his passion with us every day. Wake up, New York. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back with thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh yeah.
Wake up all the teachers, time to teach anyway. Baby, send them listen what you have to say. Remember the ones who's coming out, but the world has been bad. Pretty people, children, teach the very best we can.
The world won't get no better
if we just let it be. No, no.
The world won't get no better.
We're gonna change again, just you and me.
With all the doctors, the old people well.
Just
Right, wake up everybody. So this year we have a lot to look forward to, and we off to a great start, second day in 2022. So we want to take it to our Imam Ali and to get some updates, listening to what our resources needed to solidify, especially for our young black youth in DC. So Imam Sheikh Akbar, would you like to introduce our Imam so we can talk about some community solutions moving forward?
Well, Imam Abdullah Ali is a very unique brother in the way of leadership and the way he came into leadership. And through self-determination, has become one of the most prominent figures in Washington because of his work ethic and his focus and commitment to help in the community, and then to be outstanding in all of the areas that are centered around bringing the services that are needed directly to the people. And I would allow him to pick up from there and give you the black drop 21 into 20. This year's for you. This one's for you, Brother Imam, and take it away in 2022. Assalamu alaikum and black power.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Barakat.
Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks be to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all the worlds. We say we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending us Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of the prophets and the last messengers, and the one to whom the Quran was revealed. On that, we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. That is, I bear witness that there is no legislator but Allah, who is one and alone, and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. And it is on that note that I greet all of the brothers and the sisters in the struggle for the survival of the human race, because they don't have the answer. And I am specifically talking to the Muslim community and everybody else in general. As you know, Sheikh Akbar, we went to a program today, Masjid al-Islam Strikes Back. And this was Imam Musa who delivered a very beautiful lecture and passed out some flyers. Some of the things that he was talking about in that particular lecture, you know, we need to highlight on that, you know, just to keep things afloat, especially where he was talking about the striking back. Because, see, we're not going to do anything with disharmony and disunity in our ranks. And as you know, Akbar, I spoke about this Friday in the Jummah Khutbah, which would have been, we should have recorded that and we could have played that and it would have been sufficient for what we're talking about today. You know, we have as groups of people, we all are going to have to work together. I'm talking about, you know, all of our groups, you know, all of us are going to have to work this out together in order for us to defeat a common enemy. Nobody has to tell us who that common enemy is, because it's the same common enemy that I have, the same common enemy you have whenever you're trying to get truth, peace, freedom, and justice. There's always somebody standing in your way trying to block that, and we know who that particular individual is. But however, that individual, though he don't look like us, he have agents amongst us that work in our ranks to create disharmony and disunity. And this is one of the things that that program was talking about, that, you know, we need to confront a lot of the issues that our enemies within, either they're doing it knowingly or unknowingly, working for the agents of oppression when they say and do certain things. The, you know, one of the things that, you know, the brother was really addressing is that every time we try to come up with a financial endeavor that could put us in position to be totally independent in our goings about, we always got somebody inside the ranks that will bring up that one thing that they know will destroy the unity of everything that we're working on. And these people have to be confronted and they have to be addressed. And I'm not taking shots at nobody, but don't tell me that you hate everything about the white man and then you coming to me with communism and socialism. Karl Marx and Lenin, those were two Jews, two white boys, Zionists. So we hate everything that they gave us, but we're going to accept an institution and a way of life that they give us. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not black revolution. I would have more respect for it if you said we're going to follow the principles of my art. At least that's ours, you know. And, you know, one of the other things that constantly is thrown in this circle, and it really creates in those Muslims that don't know no better, it's designed to give you a guilt complex when they say that the Muslims, the Arabs, invaded Africa. And, you know, this is not true when you look at it in the true sense of the word. And this is one of the things that I want to talk about, because see, we got to clear this right here, right now, in order for when it come back up later on, we can deal with it. And this is one of the things that Imam Musa was talking about today, is cleaning all of the slates up, taking all of the avenues of attack from our enemies by us addressing them in the true and in the thorough light matter. Right now, first of all, as Muslims, we don't believe that we love our enemies. No, that's not something that we practice. And who is our enemy? Anybody that's promoting wrongdoing. Don't make no difference. You know, black is necessary, but black is not sufficient, because you got some black devils out there too. So one of the things that I want to address is this so-called white Arab movement running into ancient Egypt somewhere around, 639. And the white Arabs, they attacked and took black Egypt and enslaved those black Egyptians. Okay, number one, that's a lie. Because at that particular time, the Byzantine Empire was already in control of Egypt. A bunch of white boys, a bunch of white Romans had already defeated the Egyptians, and they was in total control of the whole Maghreb up there. That's that upper area. From Egypt all the way over to Morocco, you had a bunch of white European Christians that had colonized that whole area. So when the Muslims ran over in there, they didn't take Egypt from some black dudes. They took Egypt from some white boys that had some black dudes that was bootlickers working along the side of them, who was those Coptics. Yeah. So when the Muslims ran into Egypt, they didn't go up against the Egyptians. In fact, the common Egyptians fought along beside the Muslims to get those crackers out of there. Why we don't tell the truth? If you're going to tell the story, and you got to know it, because if I can find it, everybody else can find it. So don't let them put you on no guilt trip that Islam ran up in black Africa and we took Africa from the Africans. No, when Islam first went into Africa, Islam went into Ethiopia, Abyssinia, running from getting our butt whipped over there by the Quraysh. We went over there seeking political and religious asylum in Ethiopia, and the king granted it. Yeah, we went over there with our hands open, seeking aid and assistance from a butt whipping that we was getting over there in Mecca at that particular time. So we got a beautiful relationship with the brothers and sisters in Africa. No, we didn't take Africa from no black people. We took it from some crackers. And the Africans fought along beside us to get them crackers out of there. And when they got the crackers out of there, what did they do? They left them Egyptian Coptics behind, who was nothing more than pure black crackers, a bunch of bootlickers that was working for them white boys against their own people. So, yeah,
we take,
see, this is the thing about Muslims, right? We take our marching orders from the Quran, and Allah says, the 3 verse 110, you are the best people evolved for mankind, enjoying what is right and forbidding what is wrong and knowing that Allah is real. That's what we believe in. We don't believe in sitting around marching and tilly-winking and playing games. No, we believe in straight up, if you get in our way, we're going to run over top of you. The prophet, when he give us marching orders, he says, whoever sees the evil, let him change it with his hand. Now, take your hand and stop it. And if you can't change it with your hand, then change it with your tongue. Talk bad about it. And if you can't change it with your hand or your tongue, then hate it in your heart and don't line up with it. So we don't line up with evil and wicked people. No, we believe in fighting and defending ourselves and taking. Yeah. That's what we believe in. We believe in fighting for what's right. And this is what the brother Imam was talking about today, is that the Muslims got to clean this slate. We got to take all of the weapons that the evil genius that's inside our ranks that they're using to work against us.
Yeah. Okay. Call it as it
so
is.
Sometimes
you got to do that.
Yeah, these are some of the things that we have to do. And then we have to take a stance against the enemy within, just like we take a stance against the enemy without. Why would you try to destroy the unity that we're trying to build? We're trying to build something that will save planet Earth, because these crackers is killing the planet. Do you know that they got certain parts of the planet that they have killed the dirt? Do you hear me? The dirt won't produce nothing for 100 years.
Imam, I can attest to that primarily because I am Haitian American, and what foreign entities have done to Haitian soil destroyed the crops to the point where we can't even grow rice, we can't even grow basic wheat, anything. And this is what people have to understand, is that the invasion and the lack of complacency, the fact that no one's really fighting the opposition from coming into countries that are rich and fertile, and yet deprive us, steal the resources, oil, bauxite, basic minerals, even to the ability to grow rice, is null and void. So instead of us fighting each other, as you just said, we need to address the common enemy destroying countries and fertile soil. So this, I agree with you 100%. So how can we make them accountable? What are the steps to do that?
And this is where we are at right now, is we have to work on getting the common people on our side, the people that's out in the street, down in the dust, that's beat down. Those are our soldiers. Those are our brothers and sisters, and we need them. We got to clean their lives up. We got to get them standing up in the ranks of the righteous along with us. You know, and it is entirely, when you look out there and Sheikh Akbar and myself, we are out there in the street, listen, every day. Only days that we probably are not out there is on Saturday and Sunday, because Saturday and Sundays we're running out picking up stuff so we can have stuff to serve all week. The majority of the people that are on the street now are young people in their early teens up until about 30 years old. These are young people out there that have given up on life already. They haven't even had a chance to live. Some of them never had a driver's license. Some of them never even been engaged in a real relationship. I'm gonna share this with you. I was in the not just did 27 straight years in the D.C. Prison system and the federal prison system, and we was watching television, not television, but, you know, on the weekend they would show movies, right? And one of the little young dudes that's in the prison there with me, they showed a little hot sex scene, and he said, "Ali, I ain't never been with a woman like that." And I said, "Boy, what you talking about? You ain't never been with a woman?" He said, "No, when I got locked up, I was 15. I only been with little girls." And now he's in his 30s. You see what I'm saying? He has never had a chance because he caught his pace when he was 15 years old. They charged him as an adult and gave him 3 life sentences. And now one day he's going to die somewhere in one of those prisons unless Allah bless him and get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these people haven't even had a chance to live yet, and they done gave up on life already, or this system done put them in a situation that has completely washed them up. And it's not like that just with men. It's like that with brothers and sisters. I remember the first time I got on the Federal Bureau of Prisons airplane, and from the front of the airplane to the wings was full of young women. Black and Hispanic women. I'm talking about full, nothing but women on all 3 seats. Now, that was the first time I had ever seen something like that before. So they're not just locking up our men. They're taking our women along with them.
Right. Right.
And
the process of elimination process.
And the thing that we have to do is they're using street life in order to rape our community. They have locked a lot of these people out of the so-called free world economic system, and they have to go into the underworld in order for them to try to survive. And then you got all kind of traps out there in that underworld that is feeding them into the prison justice system.
Right. And that actually is what our next topic will be on January 9th. We're going to go in depth of the stock exchange, where the prison stocks have to be removed, literally, because these are investors. The prison system has become a commodity to find reasons to lock black people up for no reason. Unless we come together, and this is why I say ignorance is what's killing us. When we put a plan, when you have someone like Ken Ivey that's putting a plan, Sheikh Imam Akbar, that's putting a plan together, and they keep repeating it, and it's not being followed by internal circle outside. It's hurting the whole community. Young people are looking at this, and they're saying, "Well, if there's no law and order amongst the elders, then what do I have to live for?" And that's where you see a high rate of suicide. These are the people that I'm working for. It's for our brothers who are locked up, who don't have the comfortability and affordability to breathe the fresh air that most of us are breathing. We have to understand that when you're in a cage, when you're in a cage and you have nowhere to turn but to God, that is something we got to think about. And when you're not locked up, your purpose is to make sure that all the resources are given to set our brothers and sisters free. And that is our main purpose. But you have some people that don't understand that because they have not been pushed against the wall. Revolution is not a part-time gig. It's not something that you have, I'll give 3 hours out of the week to do it. No, it is not a choice. It is a life. It is what it is. Either you're a revolutionary or you're not. And so this is why the last 6 months has been eye-opening, the observance of longtime members who I see have not made not one needle change for the black community. But yet they want the microphone. They want to be center stage. They're the first one to have opinions, and yet you're the first one that's showing yourself not to be approved. So I do thank our leadership who has been standing there, and Imam Ali and Imam Sheikh Akbar, Ken Ivey, just a few of the people that we're showing tonight that are really about moving forward. And all we got to do is just get on board. Bring your resources. Bring your plan. Don't come to the table without a plan of action written, because nobody wants to hear empty dialogue. That's one of the reasons why we have to take writing and reading seriously. This is something that has been against us since the beginning of the days of slavery. We were lynched if we were caught reading. People were tortured if they caught educating themselves. And so because of this, this is the result that we have right now. My own brother, who I spoke to the other day, said, I'm not interested in politics. I'm not interested in that. And I said, brother, this is not whether you're interested or not. It's not that point. Politics runs your life. It dictates how we live. And if we are not knowing the names of our oppressors and keeps calling them, they, them, then we're doing us a disservice, because they know us better than we know ourselves. So I want us in the next 6 months, Black family, up until May 19th to the 21st in Los Angeles. This is a three-day atonement of serious rebuilding, and not everybody is invited. Trust and believe, it's going to be secured in a way where we're not going to have room for disruption. This is for people who are tired of being tired. I have so many brothers and sisters that have been released from prison that just want a chance to show and improve their community, but many of us are in their way of improvement, and we can't have that. So God is going to do the rest on what we're trying to set forth. Before we move forward to the third hour, I want to finish up with our Imam Ali, but I want to remind you of the 9 objectives that we initially had before us for a party of self-defense. Our first and common 3 goals is to define what is the best interest of Black people, to develop what is the best interest of us, and to defend. And defense comes with lack of with knowledge, not lack of thereof. The first step is to develop a Black power movement, and I believe we have established that. We know who we are as a group, but we have to move forward with a collective mentality to make it happen. Number 2 is to develop Black power through education, or a lot of our Moor brothers say erudition. Education is the way that we can set each other free. And next week we're going to explore the importance of it, because we have several bills and laws that we are going to present to the current body. And they have no choice. We're not asking. We are demanding for them to respect these laws that we are going to bring forth. And you say, what do you mean we're going to bring forth laws? That's right. That's something we should have done 400 years ago. We have the power in our hand right now to change laws tomorrow if we collectively know our own state laws and the Constitution. The Universal Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Rights, we must know it. This is a treaty right now that is not exercised because they don't want us to know our rights. Number 3, to develop and defend Black economic power. If we have a circle and you have people that have excess of funding and you have people in that circle that have lack of funding, we have to work together how we can equally balance that, because that is what God said for us to do. In Acts chapter 4, share everything, and not one person was in need. This is the same principle that we must use today. Either you're bringing a plan to a table, or you bring in finances to make it happen. If you're in none of those categories, then we're going to ask you to exit stage left with Paris Lewis. Number 4, to develop and defend Black political power. Again, we cannot stress enough, the change cannot happen if we do not involve politics. Politics depends on what or how we live. Number 5, to develop and enforce accountability in law enforcement and the criminal justice system. We have with our Panthers the paramilitary force that's needed to replace law enforcement tomorrow. We have it. But we got to get in that mindset to establish those stations. That means you have to know the current police bill of rights in your state. How are they taking you to jail on felonious gun charges, on felonious drug charges, if you don't know your own rights? And Grandmaster Jay right now, just recently, a couple weeks ago, did an interview on the indictments he's currently facing. Because of the indictment he's facing, he learned the law by force. Black family, we don't have to wait till we actually get in the situation to know our rights. You have the opportunity to do that right now. So turn off that Netflix subscription. Get rid of it. Honestly, take this year to really foment your mind into becoming the leader that God has created you to be. If we can disconnect from sports and television just for 1 year, oh, man, the results will be astronomical, Black family. Number six, to develop and defend Black youth. This is number one on our list. Everything that we say and do must reflect our young people. If you are not relevant, if you don't have functioning technology to basically communicate with the youth, they are not going to listen to you. So we must, as where we are, and be honest with ourselves. What is it that I need to improve in order to be a voice for our young people? And if you say that you're not interested in helping the young people, then God is going to take care of you, because you are wasting time. You are wasting air. You are wasting space that good people who are locked up in jail cannot enjoy. So understand, everything that you say and do, and we all have children. We cannot produce our children and say, I'm not interested in politics, and remain our kids to be ignorant. That is a death sentence for our children, and they don't deserve that. Number eight, to defend Black rights in general. And as we take an in-depth look next week on January 9th, we're going to be focusing on several laws, several human rights that Malcolm X, Malik El-Shabazz, has stated concerning not civil rights, but human rights. And our last is that we demand local reparations and compensation. This is our objective. Reparations is not going to come by waiting for these foolish politicians to discuss reparations. It's right there. We have to come together with the knowledge of the current laws and say, we want 18,000 buildings in this facility. We want these properties for the government to be given. You cannot be free in America if you're not given 40 acres and a mule and $100. This was written in law. And until that happens, Black family, we are eating air, and we cannot continue to do that. Power to the people. So, Imam, if you want to wrap up on the point of action that you'd like for us to take and the help that's needed in D.C., we have, Social Services Queen Janae Muhammad. I don't know if she'll be on the line to give us some updates in critical actions need to be taken moving forward.
Well, there's a few things that we could really use some aid and assistance in, and finance is always one of them. One of our main vehicles, we're going to lose it. That's the vehicle that we use to transport people backwards, you know, back and forward. You know, we're going to lose that sometime this year. It's going out because the amount of work that it needs done right now is not worth investing the type of funds in that particular year of a car. You know, so we need another vehicle that we can use to transport people. We have a brand new vehicle to transport food and clothes and things like that. But we need a vehicle to get people from point A to point B. We have a senior citizen program where we service four senior citizen buildings, and we serve, I think, 5 or 6 public housing areas. And we always need supplies. Mainly, we need, like, you know, toothpaste, deodorant, hygiene kits. In the winter months when we really have to serve the homeless people, we need coats, gloves, hats, thermal underwear, and sleeping bags. I don't like to give them blankets because the blankets, for some odd reason, blankets get dirtier quicker than the sleeping bags. And they'll tell you that they would rather have a sleeping bag than to have a blanket because the sleeping bag is more warmer. And we also need tents, you know, tents for, that 2 people can live in, because what we find now is that you got a lot of homeless couples out there. You know, just because they're out in the street don't mean that they don't have human needs that male and female provide for each other. So you have a lot of couples that are out there. So, you know, these are some of the things that we need every day. Down to serving bowls and spoons and forks, because we feed 3 times a week out there, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and whatever we have left over, you know, we'll take that out there Friday after Jumu'ah prayer if it's enough to make a meal out of. So, you know, these are the things that we have to do. We have to get on the ground working with the people in the street, because they're the ones that we're responsible for. They're the ones that society has kicked for whatever reason. They find themselves trapped out there with nowhere to go. And a lot of times we tell them to go to the shelter, right? They can't go to the shelter because, number one, if you go to the shelter, you have to have an ID. And if you have an ID with your picture on it and your name on it, and they run that ID with the warrant squad and your name pop up, they will give you a room and call the warrant squad and notify them that you are there. And they will have the warrant squad come and lock you up from the shelter. The staff in the shelter run every name that comes in there with an ID card with that warrant squad, and they will call the warrant squad and you'll find yourself locked up. And there's a lot of our people that have issues with law enforcement that are living out there on the street. So they can't go to the shelter. They're trapped outside.
Well, this is exactly what we want to, we want to rectify. Now, is there a point of contact that people can reach you directly if they want to?
You can reach me directly at 202-520-9997. That is my personal phone number. 202-520-9997.
97, okay. All right, so we're going to put this on part of our reparations list. We have quite a few requests, but as we put them all together, those fundraising options, this is what we're pushing. So if you guys want to help in any way, fashion, we do have a Cash App, 77Bakers, that's $77Bakers. And this is to continue the movement. There are several different groups internationally that we request to finance the changes that needs to happen. So again, if you have a Cash App, that's the easiest way to donate is $77Bakers. So before we go into our last hour, we do have one more interview with Cornelius Gandhi. And want to leave this with Imam Sheikh Akbar. Do you have any last-minute statements before we go into our musical break?
I will allow Queen Janae should be in the midst somewhere out there. Do we have comment in our Queen?
Black Power. I've been here listening.
Assalamu alaikum, Black Power. And Imam is there as well. Black Power.
Hi, Black Power, brother Imam.
All right.
Black Power, I've been listening. It's a dynamic show tonight. I was preparing for meals to go out late night. Brother Biko is out on some street patrols, and I had a couple pieces of chicken left and rice. So we just plated it up and sent it out for the night, you know, night patrols. That's an idea that we could use throughout the formations and things like that. You know, not as an excuse to just be out patrolling, but be out and serving. Serve the people. This is about service to the people. And it's a lot of different programs that we could be starting and developing, but there's no need to reinvent the wheel. That's why we're getting with other organizations and making this free food program in D.C. more successful. It's not the Black Panther Free Party. It's the community free food giveaway. We partner with, on Sundays, with Black Rose Foundation and Mayor Butler. And they donated all these beautiful food, fresh vegetables, salads, like fresh salads and organic food from Trader Joe's. And I'm talking about top-notch good stuff, not bad, not spoiled, not rotten, any of those things. So it's a group effort here in Washington, D.C. to keep our people fed and housed and clothed. You know, and I'm encouraging my friends to start downsizing and really just getting the rid of stuff. It's people out here that don't have nothing. They're carrying their whole lives in a book bag or a suitcase or something like that. So, and then we do need alternative housing options. D.C., we just read now, D.C., the minimum rent, affordable housing rent in D.C. now is at $2,500 a month. And these people out here.
How affordable is that?
Yeah, and but it's people on the street that are homeless. They have jobs, have real jobs, but they cannot afford to pay rent in D.C. $2,500 a month. And I can remember living in Atlanta. I had a two-car garage. Two-car garage house and wasn't paying $1,200 a month for that in Atlanta. But you come up here, you might get a one-bedroom for about $1,200.
Yeah.
You need to build our own
housing.
It's ridiculous. So we got to learn the new ways to make money. We got to learn about this cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. I mean, I got a crash course lesson the other night listening to this guy, but I'm still like, okay, where's the money coming from, you know? But with them, it's like it's all transactions, so you just got to make one transaction work for the next, and I'll get it. I'll catch on to it. But we do have to learn new ways to make money and new ways to just live. You know, time is evolving to the age of Aquarius now. And I think that's what people are afraid of, admitting that things are going to change and they're never going to go back to being the same again. Never. It'll never be the same way again. And you're going to have to either learn how to adjust with the curve or you're going to die. Freedom or death. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Survival of the fittest. Learn the new ways of making money. Learn the new ways of the economy is supposed to work. You know, if we have to get off grid, go back and start all over. You know, and that's why I'm really digging into the program development for the housing program, because now we can buy land and we can build our own tiny house villages. We can build our own stuff. I don't want everything we do to be free. We got to make profit some kind of way. So we have got to get this land ownership. We got to learn how to buy land. We got to learn how to make affordable houses. You know, I'm looking into a lot of these storage container houses, prefabricated houses, and things like that. They only like $2,000 to $3,000. I need some land. You know what I'm saying? Get you some land, and you don't need all this extra room that we think we got to have these big 5-6 bedroom houses. You got one person, you know. We got to start thinking smart and not be so wasteful.
And actually, now that you're mentioning that, that's exactly what we want to expand on next Sunday, is the affordable housing options, because this has to be a length in discussion with people at the table who are housing experts, construction companies. We really do want to band together so we can build affordable housing quicker. We could use 3D printing to eliminate labor. So there's a lot of options now out there for us to build our own housing once we get the land. So let's have a full detailed report. So Queen Janae, if you can, come back with the tiny houses is one option and the other alternative, specifically targeting housing. If you can cover that for next Sunday.
Black power.
Let's see. We had somebody out there. I had a 951 I know was trying to get in. Let me see if 951 is still live just before we go to the master close.
Yeah, that should be Cornelius if that's not Gandhi.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Let me give a 951. 951-410, you actually live. You're on Black Power Radio with Imam Abdul Ali and Janae Cook Muhammad, Dr. Mello, and Sheikh Imam Akbar. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum assalam. Black Power?
Black Power.
Hey, Brother Imam, sister, how y'all doing?
Good. Right before.
Happy New Year's to all. Let's get it. This is 2022, and we ain't all made it, man. So I just want to start off real quickly by saying all praise due to our Most High, the Most High, for blessing us to see this opportunity to be a part of this amazing conversation that has been transpiring today. We started in last year with some very powerful information, bringing awareness about some of the things we need to do, and it seems like we're kicking this new year off on the same track. I'm Cornelius Don, and I don't want to take up a lot of time. I don't know how much time I have, so if we can get a little clarification with that.
You actually have a half hour, but right before then, we got to go to our musical break. And right before then, right afterwards, I want you to talk about the update with the KRE token and how
awesome.
We can move it forward. All right, so here's Marvin Gaye, Inner City Blues.
Thank you.
right. All right. So welcome back to our last hour of Sister Sundays on Power Radio. And join us for May 29th. I'm sorry, May 19th to the 21st in Los Angeles, where we'll have 3 days of atonement with El Hajj Malik El Shabazz Day. This day, we will be coming together, giving our best ideas, plans, moving forward, not only for housing, education, but we're sponsoring our youth, 300 youth to be exact, in our upcoming Hip Hop Academy, launching January 20th. In 2023. So you got a whole year. So if you have a young person that likes to act, sing, or dance, we are looking for them. Most importantly, we're looking to train entrepreneurs, engineers, future creators for this metaverse. So now is the time to log on and register. We have our Instagram, Youth Event, Youth Investment. And if you have any questions, if you want to give us a call, 323-884-8583. And don't forget, on May 22nd in Los Angeles, we will have a special private investors dinner, invite only. And this is where we will finalize our coming together. And by then, we should have implemented new laws, and we shall have housing projects already on the works. So there's a lot to look forward to. So don't forget, May 19th to the 21st, El Hajj El Malik Shabazz Day in Los Angeles, in the Merck Park. Be there or be square. Make sure you get your tickets ready. This will be a chance that will be one like another. So now let's go.
Okay. Black Paul, we do have maybe two callers. And I think the brother Imam is still on, but let's see if we can get those two callers out at 646-789. That's live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power.
Imam is on. Go ahead, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Karan from New York City. I'm calling to give a report as far as the new behavior peer program. We got a new recruit, a sister named Ropani. She's from Sudan, and she should be on the line as well. So I just wanted to give an update about the
excuse
new.
Excuse me, she has 347. She's the 347 caller. Let me see.
I think so.
Sudan. So that's Sudan at 347, 257. You're live with Brother Karan in New York. Is this New York, Sudan? At 347. Okay, 347 going once. 347 in New York. Are you there at 347-257? They may not be very familiar with the board.
Right.
But
correct,
go right ahead,
correct,
Karan,
correct.
Give you a report and give all due respect to Imam Ali. Go ahead.
Peace, brother Imam Ali.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How you doing?
I'm chilling. Wa alaikum assalam. And yourself?
Oh, man, we down here rolling. Me and Akbar went to a program today that was outstanding.
I was listening to you, and I was listening to the show. I'm very interested as far as the knowledge you was dropping on us and letting us know the history, the true history. Thank you for that.
Yes, that's one of the things we got to do. We got to start telling the outside of the story. For too long, we've been sitting back, being a punching bag, and people just taking cheap shots at us, and we're not doing anything about it or saying anything because we want to get along. Imam Musa pointed out today that those days are over with, that, you know, we didn't reach the point now where we got to take a stand for what's right and forget about unity. It ain't about unity because you can be unified with criminals and they'll crash your project. But
that's right.
You know, it's about unifying with like-minded people, you know?
Of course.
That's
of
right.
Course. So we know about the cheap shots. We got to stay away from those because those ain't nothing but distractions in the line of what black people really have to do. So I agree. the cheap shots, we got to keep them under the belt or keep them out of the way. So as the new behavior peer program continues, even to this day, we want to promote Dr. Khaled tutorials as a way of learning. And these police brutality DVDs or just even on YouTube, we want to have like a book club where people can discuss these topics and we can get them out to the community by way of speeching through the community outside. So we want to stay focused on the new behavior peer program. Everybody should have already got something in the email from the new behavior peer program. So I just want to say thank you for the knowledge again, brother Imam. The show is very interesting. Thank you for the time. Black Power.
Thank you.
Black Power. And if Brother Karan, can you email me what your new behavior peer program, because I didn't get it. Thank you.
Sure, she's able to pull that Dr. Design.
Cornelius Gandy is up next. Let's not cut into this brother's time. Cornelius Gandy, if he's back on.
I want to kill the last caller. I have one last caller over on. I don't know their reasoning yet. Did you want to pick up the caller or go to finish?
Yes. Let's take this last caller. Sure.
The last caller, you're at 301. Caller, you're 301-682. You're live on Black Power Radio with Imam Abdul Ali and Dr. Mello Desire.
Mm-hmm.
That's 301-682. 301.
I was muted. Sorry about that. Black Power, y'all. Black Power family.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Yeah. It's good to be back on the Isle of Akbar, you know. I've never been to France or Germany, but I've been to the Isle of Akbar. I like it there.
All right.
I just want to say Black Power, everybody, and happy New Year. And well, this is the year of the Panther. And I was looking for this song that I wrote about it, actually. Cause I'm like coming in. Are we coming into 2022 with some serious power? Here we go. 2022. I should have some music on in the background. 2022, the year of the Panther. You know, we got to do what we do because we all black boots on the ground still matter. This will be the year the snakes and the phonies and the frauds disappear because we ain't dumb, and make it perfectly clear. Y'all get up out of here. Don't get it twisted calling them devils, but you enlisted with the enemy and didn't black our call, call it negative energy, anytime that we stand tall, because you really want us to fall. You watching out for the devil standing next to the demons. This shit is on another level. You'll come up out of here screaming. They really want to put black power to the side and let the other side ride, but see through the smoke screen, living on the edge of a dream. Our black power is full of light, because we'll come at dawn and be ready to fight, and what a fight for is right. And I'll keep on ciphering, and you keep on pretending, and that. You about the people. Sorry, the muzzle came off, and I'm about to speak, yo. This ain't nothing to do with the party or its officials. This is my personal feeling, though. Those phonies don't want to stand with me and go toe-to-toe. Why not try to battle rap me and give a ducking to the cause, yo? Get back with me on a musical tip. Got black power coming. We got a cup of black power. Come and take the sip. Don't give me no lip. Don't give me no lip. I'm not the best, but I'm your worst nightmare. go to pass the test and you come up out of here. I'll be the hero, standing for vanguard for my people. And, you know, we got to go hard, like concrete and steel, because y'all weak, and we ain't never missed a meal. So keep dropping bombs. So I'll keep dropping bombs until I get my message through, because I'm a friend of the Moor and a Black Panther, too. And I'm ready for war when you come see, when we come in some of them perpetrators and frauds. And you know who I'm talking to, some of us women, some of them, and some of us too, using hate to capitulate, and it ain't too late to say you made a mistake. These devils did nothing but made a suggestion. Don't be blind, and it's just a distraction, triggering your mind, trying to get a reaction. But all in the mind, I'm ready for action. What's 2022 be the year of the Panther? I want my regiment back, and you know what I'm after, a Panther. And you know what I'm after. If you a Panther, step to the plate, be with us, cause it ain't no hate. Anyway, I'm just into that. But I'm just into that. But that's fresh off the presses. Because I'm writing these every day, because I'm trying to get some of these rappers out here that got all these billions of dollars that's investing in Hennessy and Cavassier and everything else that will make our people straight. And I had to rhyme on that one, too. So I'm putting it out there. Look, you want to battle rap with me? Put some money in, for the revolutionary. And that would be at $77Bakers, and that's all capital letters, like Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S. So anyway, I'll come back with the rest of this at another time, but I'm always ready to rhyme. We got freestyles dropping like you dropping dimes.
All right.
Black Power, y'all.
You got plenty of time. Salute to our MOJ.
Sister Mellow Desire doing a great job holding the line on Black Power Radio. Salute to our national chairman, Sheikh Imam Akbar. Salute to our national field marshal, Karan on the line. Salute to our MOD out there in the field. And as a matter of fact, I like what you say. You know, I went out there to feed the homeless at first, but then I found out they need protection, because some of them would tell me that they live in the woods and they got tents back there. And they got people, like, shooting BB guns at them and stuff like that, you know, and just harassing them. So some of them need protection. And that's what me and my bike squad do up here in the Black Power Regiment. I ain't going to say where, because we're in the middle of Black Power Central. And this is the voice of the people, Black Lightning. Teach y'all Black Power all day, every
Black
day.
Power.
Oh, more
Black
power
Black
to
power.
The people. More
Black
power
Black
to the people.
Black Power.
Black
Light for that. As we go right back to, let's see, I can allow Brother Imam to close now if he wants to go through the segment with Dr. Mello. Brother Imam?
Okay, I'll close out on my side.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna lil salam la fikus. Illa ladina aminu wa amilu salihati. وتواصل بالحق وتواصل بالصبر الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم آمين السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام
وعليكم
السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام وعليكم السلام
Black Power. All right, so we want to close out with dear financial crypto man, Cornelius Don, if he's still on the line, so he can give us an update on the KRE token. Now, before he finishes, I want you guys to please remember to download your MetaMask wallet. Find out what that is first. We have discussed it last week. This is the new digital wallet in order for you to obtain your crypto coins. Without your wallet, you have no coins. So let's start with that. So download the little fox icon, and that way that'll get you a foot in the door into cryptocurrency. Brother Cornelius Don, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So can you give us an update on the KRE token, what deadlines are up, and how we can get our foot in?
Okie doke. So I'm going to start at the top of my notes, and we'll make it to the KRE token. At this point, I just basically want to say happy 2022 to all the family, all the Black Panther new party and old party merging to make the best party. So I have a few questions. The first question is this. If you've been listening to this show, have you downloaded MetaMask.io? If you have not downloaded MetaMask.io and set up a crypto wallet, or if you have not went to crypto.com and set up a crypto wallet so that you can receive, send, or hold crypto your own time and my time. So, again, if you have not done that, you should go to your app store, download MetaMask.io, or go to crypto.com. If you open up a crypto.com, you're going to need your identification, most likely the address on your ID needs to be the same, or you're going to run into problems. Second, you're going to need some initial cash at that point of setting up so that you can receive a digital credit card that is produced by crypto.com. If you just want to be able to receive, trade, and hold crypto, you can open up your MetaMask wallet, which is MetaMask.io. Next, have you taken at least 20 minutes of your own time to go and research blockchain technology? If you have not, you are wasting your time and my time. We need to understand this new technology. We need to understand this new technology. If the party had invested a mere $10,000 in this technology in 2010 while I was still incarcerated, but one of us, if one of us had brought the news then, and from the way we have been responding to the KRE token, I think we wouldn't have done it then. But if we had, we would have millions of dollars to do much more for the party. So again, if you have not went and studied at least 20 minutes on your own accord, what is the blockchain technology? Why are everyone pushing, or all of these major corporations pushing for blockchain technology? How can it help us? How will it hurt us? Then you are wasting your time and mine. Thirdly, we're talking about NFTs. NFTs. I'm sure if you have not heard it on this radio station, you've heard it at work. You've heard it on the TV. You've heard it from a friend. You've heard it on one of the many social media platforms that you, even if you're the oldest person on the radio, you're going on to at least Facebook to check your friends, and you're seeing NFTs, which stands for non-fungible tokens. Non-fungible tokens. So have you taken some time to ask yourself, why is this becoming so important? What can a non for me? And can it help my life? Should I have one? If I was to make a suggestion, I would say yes. If you're into any type of business, you should be looking at bringing in non-fungible tokens to make your business more successful. as well as partnering. As we are moving into cryptocurrency more and more daily, if you associate your business with some type of cryptocurrency, it only brings more money to you.
Mm-hmm.
If we all like money, then we should have a crypto wallet, to number one. If you do not have a crypto wallet, which you can receive for free, other than the time it takes to write it out, make sure that you get a book to put your codes in, which is called your seed phrase, that you do not share with anyone. You do not share your seed phrase with anyone if you open up a MetaMask account or a crypto wallet, because it's giving someone the keys to your bank.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, we do not share this information with other people because it is giving the keys away to our bank. We are learning how to become self-sufficient. Every conversation I've heard on this radio has continuously been about becoming a self-sufficient people. If you cannot become self-sufficient of yourself and your own bank, your own finances, how do you ever expect to become self-sufficient as a community, as a people? So, non-fungible token. Even receive a free non-fungible token, which some of them sell right now or selling, trading right now for hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions of dollars. You cannot receive one of those if you have not opened up a digital bank, which is called your wallet. A MetaMask wallet or crypto.com are two that we are recommending. There are much more out there. These are just two that we are recommending at the moment. Now, going into our last stage and questions about the KRE token.
Before you do that, Brother Cornelius, can you explain to the listeners what exactly is a seed phrase?
Okay, yes, I can. A seed phrase, when you go to open up your MetaMask wallet, they will give you a sequence of words. Let's just say it'll say rabbit, couch, sofa, water, apples, and a few other words to make a number of 12. And they will give those words to you in that order. You are to write that seed phrase down. And if you ever find yourself locked out of your account, or you want to move your account from, if you open it up, say, on your mobile device and you want to move it to your laptop device, they will ask you, do you want to bring in your old MetaMask wallet, or would you like to create a new one? Which means you can have multiple wallets.
Okay.
What your seed phrase is. It's the bank, the last keys to that independent wallet. And each wallet would have its own seed phrase.
And it's 12 words, 12 random words specifically.
Usually between 12 and 15. I've only run across the 12, but they tell you it can be between 12 and 15.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Now you
want to run. So, moving on with the steady pace. As far as the KRE token, we're doing good. We're down to our last $5,000, which is, for me personally, I'm heartbroken. I was really expecting for us to be fully liquid, have our full liquidity by the first of the year and be active at this point. Now, with the viewers that we have on here, this is something I personally am so frustrated about. We continue to talk about all of the amazing programs that are all over America as well as the world, supporting our communities, doing their best to assist our people. However, when it comes to us creating a solution for the number one problem that I hear stated continuously at the end of every amazing program, which is we could use a little financial help. We have energy, we have bodies, we have a cause, and we have a mission on the front line daily out here. The only thing we're missing is a little financial assistance to make sure that the supplies are continuing to come and the morale of those of us who are on the front line can stay at full capacity so we're doing our job, which is serving the people. KRE, K-Man Rocks Empowerment, took it upon ourselves with me running at the helm to create a solution for this ever problem, which was providing a currency that once we adopt it as a community, it can provide the solution for all of these other amazing programs to stay funded without us having to continue to dip in our own pocket, just utilizing this new form of currency. And it breaks my heart to say, if every one of us had that's been on these shows invested $50 just to see, we would have surpassed our request by at least 100-fold. And I know without a fact, everyone who has been listening is looking around or can count over $150 they have effed off at, with no way of that money bringing a return to them or to our community at large. Shame on us as a community. We have to do better. With that being said, our call of action, any last people wishing to ensure that we move forward on that, you can reach out. My email is Cornelius@KmanRocks. That's with a K, K-A-B, EmanRocks.com. Cornelius, Cornelius, at Caveman Rocks, KAVMANROCKS.com. You can reach out and let me, I'll give you any information if you would like to move forward. And if anyone wants further information on how to invest, what's the best cryptos beyond investing in our own currency that one could make a solid investment in right now, you can also reach me at Cornelius@KmanRocks.com. Thank you for your time. And as a people, let's get it. Let's make sure that we make a presence in this metaverse. It is spreading rapidly. The changes within this industry is happening daily. There's new updates coming every day. So be aware, continue to do your own research, and stay safe. It's a crazy world out here. Black power.
Black power, black power. We thank you, Brother Cornelius Don, for your great contributions in the way of giving us updates on the cryptocurrency and then the updates on your personal projects that are rolling in Los Angeles and nationwide, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are also being a part of this new movement that is coming out. It's a PSA for human trafficking. We're standing against that to eradicate human trafficking around the world. There's a new sign out. I hope everyone knows about it. If not, you pay attention on the Super Bowl. You should see that. It's a cry for help. That's a great project. That's the team project is launched, but we stand in support with them, as well as we stand in support with all of us hero watchdog organizations around the world that's out here on the front line, like Brother Imam, like Dr. Mello. You know, you guys are on the front line daily without financial assistance, but that don't deter you from going to be of service. Now it's time for God's children to be of service. If we want to make a real difference, we have to start putting a little finance in the right places and a whole bunch of energy and top of that to ensure that we get what God has intended. He said we can't beat in giving. If we can give that of a mustard seed with some energy, he'll show us how to electrify it.
Remember, this must be the year of the Panther. Every year for, I guess, the last 20 straight I can remember, I knew who was coming to Super Bowl, who was going to be the Super Bowl. This year, I don't have a clue. Because you mentioned that you might have some updated Super Bowl. There's some Super Bowl fans. There's always some out there. And you happen to know who's in, who's out, and who's the doubt.
I don't even know who's going to be there. I just know that California going to host it this year.
Oh, my, my, my. Well, there it is. We've given you the best of all of us. I think Dr. Mello desires on board working all of the good things for Lemur Park in Los Angeles. We're working to get to Newark, New Jersey. And we have the 50th anniversary of the Black political convention and reenactment to be done again in Newark, New Jersey. And there are many, many, many people that are crossing city, county, and state lines, and maybe some international traffic, but definitely cross all state lines to make the political conference in Newark, New Jersey. Our onboard National Minister of Communications, Brother Doshan Farad, has been instrumental in bringing all of this to our attention and giving us updates, and encouragingly is bringing as many as possible to Newark, which is his hometown, Newark, New Jersey, on April 28, 29, and I don't know, it might be some late bloomers will get there by the 30th, but definitely on the April 28th weekend. Be there, be square, be in Newark, New Jersey for the 50th anniversary of the Black Power or Black Political Convention. Years ago, they had Mayor Kenneth Gibson and Mayor Coleman Young and Mayor Be There, Be Square, but many, many politicians from Jesse Jackson to, I believe, even was Junior around in those days? I'm not sure. But Jesse Jackson Jr. was definitely, he became an awesome politician. For those that know politics, Jesse Jackson Jr. was, he was, for a couple of years straight, man, he ran a strong team, and he made a few political errors, and they sent him and his wife to jail. So that politics can trip you up and trip you out if you don't know exactly what you are doing. So we leave that out there to say, be there at the political convention in Los Angeles, Lemur Park on May 20 and May 21. We, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, will have a special Elhaj Malik Shabazz Day. It's going to take over several days to get it over, but it is our convention, our Black Power Summit, and all of this will be combined and just laying out all of the government policies of the New Black Panther and all of the intentions towards our own nationhood, brotherhood, and sisterhood. Just be there to put it all together for the New Black Panther Party. All Central Committee members are definitely under command and demand to be there. It's a mandatory event in Los Angeles. The reason for this is to bring the East to the West and the West to the East, and to meet there and do some masterminded planning. And we've got a commitment out of Brother Ken Ivy to be there. We got commitments for Smoke out of the Gap Band, and we got some commitments out of Mike Roberts, I believe, to be there. And the list goes on and on and on. Just be there, be square, in other words. Don't miss it, brother and sister. You miss your link, and you will miss your calling if you're not in Leimert Park in Los Angeles, California, on May 19th, May 20th, May 21, and for our big secret squad, our secret past dinner. We're going to have a great dinner on May the 22nd at an undisclosed location that is definitely not beneath the Blue Lagoon. And we will say that to say this. Dr. Mella Desire's there to give you all of her closing comments. And just thank you again for listening to Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. I'm assuming that went. Dr. Mellow Desire, you still there with us? Can't even begin to tell you what's taking place. Let me see. I may have to test the waters to see. Are you able to hear me, Brother Cornelius Don?
Yeah, I can still hear you, brother.
Okay, did you pick up on where Dr. Mellow's probably got her stuff muted out? She's probably talking on mute. Are you there?
Hello.
Dr. Mellow. I know that. I sure was
muted. My God, I was talking, thinking, yeah, with him. All right, power to the people. That's why I'm on.
Black power.
I'm here. Well, I want to wrap this up. This has been a great first show, and many, many more to come. We have a lot of outstanding, legendary guests for this coming year, Black Power Radio, so stay tuned. We want to wrap up with, of course, we can't do anything unless we finish spiritual matters. So I'm going to go into a couple of Bible verses before we wrap up so we can remember who we are, not just as human beings, but what is our purpose? Why did God create us to begin with? Created us because we were created to worship him, to make a difference, to love each other, to procreate. These are the things that we must continue and making sure our young people know that. This is the missing element. We want to bridge the gap of knowledge for our young people so they can actually create their own plans and implement them. So let's go to Genesis 15, verse 12. God confirmed his promise to us. As he says, verse 12, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And suddenly a great terror and darkness overwhelmed him. 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 5 years, 20 years, for 100 years. No, it was for 400 years. And that rings true to power right now. 400 plus years, this so-called country was created and used God's chosen people since the beginning as slaves. However we came to be, that is what has happened. But God's promise was over when COVID hit, when George Floyd hit. That actually reset everything. And those who were asleep and complaining missed it. But those who are awake and waiting and watching and are vigilant are understanding that these are the exact words of promise that God said for us as his chosen people, as the Moors, as some call black. We are the original ones that God was talking about. So do you think God is going to give a promise to his children that are not chosen? Absolutely not. But if we don't know who we are and who we are spiritually, trust and believe, God does not need to use us. So we cannot take our grace, his grace and mercy, for granted. So now that the Great Reset has already begun, and now we're in its second year, have you figured out what your position is? Have you come up to speed with the tools you need to be the leader that you have been chosen to be? So as we finish off with our Bible verses, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, where this verse, for sure, is something that we must live daily, and we can't do anything unless we have love. And so I must confess that although I do love everyone, I love my brothers and sisters, I for fact know I have not been showing that through my actions. So I'm going to make a promise as for Chief Justice for what I'm running for when it focuses on law, to implement the law. But I want to do it by showing love to my brother, by allowing the needs that they have supersede the feelings that I may have. So I do apologize for the years of anger that I have forced on some because of the situations that we're in. I want to see us free, Black family. And I promise you, if we all work together and on the same page and bring what we need to the table, it is not any money that is needed to write your plan. That is what we're requesting from each and single one member, to write down your plan. If you don't have a plan, you have no place at the table. And this is not by our choice. This is what has to happen, because we must move forward. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part that we in prophecy, but when the completeness comes, what it is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childish things behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as it is in the mirror, that when we shall see face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, that I also am fully known. And now, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so, Black family, whatever we say, whatever we do, we must always show forth in love. And if we are not able to do so for whatever means, we must be honest with ourselves and say, how can I seek the wisdom, Lord, that you have given to us? How can I continue to move forth in leadership if I have not love? So this is where we have to say goodbye. We have to say goodbye to the things that we know that are not productive, that are hindering our blessings. the power of goodbye. There's nothing else to lose. There's no more heart to bruise. And there's no greater power than the power of goodbye. So I'm going to leave to you with this song and turn it over to our beloved Sheikh Imam Akbar. And so, Black family, be great and be so wonderful.
Likewise, Black power to all those on the West Coast, those that are in the Central Time Zone. We show love to the mountain, the Smoky and Rocky Mountain boys of Colorado, all the way into those in Chicago and Memphis, Atlanta, D.C. I'd be remiss if I did not give my beloved brother way out in Oak
town, California. I love Freddy Spreaders out there in Oakland. Assalamu alaikum. And Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, everybody. How y'all doing? I had another good show tonight, y'all, and I really appreciate that. So, like I said, I'm getting ready to get back in the house. I'm on the beat right now and chilling out here in Fairfield, California. And like I said, it's a bad street, but it's all good. So let me take you back to our spot at Black Power Radio.
Thank you, Brother Fred. Assalamu alaikum. And Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. That's our big brother. And we got so much love. We're overwhelmed. Our cup running for over right here at Black Power Radio. We thank you again for our guest, Brother Ken Ivey, Brother Imam Abdul Ali, and we had comments from our chairwoman, Janae Cook Muhammad, Melissa the Black Lightning, and all of those from Harold to the Wheelbarrow was on tonight. Had everybody in the house, all whether you're on the smartphone or dumb or paranoid phone, we know that we give you more of what you listen to Black Power Radio for. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet and anywhere else you want to find us on 196,940,000 square miles on the planet Earth. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in to Black Power Radio tonight. But with all that we can say, we know our beloved brother Marvin Gaye has always said it best. Be in Leimert Park, May 19, 2021. Be in Newark, New Jersey, April 28, 29, and 30. And if you don't get there, you're going to be square. So keep it strong, focused, and committed as we show love here at Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
He gave us everything. been so many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Met mom, made a crossbreed from the sex with her. All these god genes are molecular. He just called me through the cellular.
Stories of antiquity, see that potter's a beam of light. That only children born with special psychic powers see at night. But in these modern times, in the doctor's eyes, if you speak of me, you're schizophrenic or have DID. If you know me now, you're the lunatic that imaginary people seek to meet. Pig shelling ACID, so I sold them like surgic dice, I'm a mead.
I decide what cryptic that to mean. I gave sacrifice to David Carradine. And my monster or a moon star. Old spirit in a new body. You're an old nigga in a used car. In the old earth is the new Mars. Girl sinning, sinning girls. Get the sing gals at the nude bar. I'm too charged. Trying to buy my mama own planet with a huge yard. Ooh Lord, save me. Do a shroom, then I go to church. Ooh, my baby. Is that a pussy or an open purse? Told the nurse, check my throat on first. Why you down there, make sure that my boner works. I was created to tow the earth. God body, so I know my worth. Wrote a perp, then I took the wall. Made my Marcus Garvey poster smirk. Took the tablets, I was Moses first. Grow a human from the holy dirt. Boil, boil, win the royal oil. Bring a chicken back to life, I know it works. All I see is birds, Michael Jackson with an open shirt. I had an epileptic seizure before I wrote this verse. They tried to tell me that my melanin mean that my soul is cursed.
Up, or the one that got away. When we left it dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights, then you stand. Watching for the man, on drugs in your land. Guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, COINTELPRO. Don't they open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. You point fingers, not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders with a fucking respect. Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch new scripts today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror. Just drop bombs, some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Told Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's alright now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a soda. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a soda. Crips and blood, crips and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the spoons with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton in the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with the CIA. Did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred. She escaped, you put a bounty on her head. Poison water in the air and the food. We already dead, so what else we got to lose? Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies, they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Thank you.
They do.